Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, you did. We're all officially kicked out of school. Wormer just got our grades.
It kicked us out of school? Huh. That makes sense.
Hey!
What's this lying around shit? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! What the fuck happened to the Delta I used to know? Where's the spirit? Where's the guts? Huh? This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Pluto.
We might get in trouble. Well, just kick my ass from now on! Not me! I'm not gonna take this! Warner, he's a dead man! Marmalade, dead! Niedermeyer!
Dead! Pluto's right. Psychotic, but absolutely right. We gotta take these bastards. Now, we could fight them with conventional weapons. That could take years and cost millions of lives. No, in this case, I think we have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part.
Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, where Barack Obama sits on his socialist throne, and that useless piece of beef jerky, John Boehner, is handing him all the money that you don't got. My co-host, Tex, will be joining us shortly. He's on special assignment, but in the meantime, I hope to entertain and inform you. Been a pretty big week. We've got a lot to cover. Tonight's show is about GOP failure. Are they going the way of the Whigs? Guest call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. If you're in Blog Talk Radio, we've got a chat function, so feel free to join in. It's kind of an open forum, but if you piss me off or you are rude to any of my other guests, I will boot you. If you're in there, click follow underneath the show icon, and you will get notifications of when we are broadcasting in your Blog Talk Radio profile as well as your affiliated email. And on Facebook, please go to the Tex and Rex Show page. Like the page and you'll get updates, and also I post all the links to articles and clips and such that we talk about on the show. And you can always go back on Blog Talk Radio on the Tex and Rex Show page and check out our archives. All our past shows are posted there. You can listen to them in your browser or smartphone, or you can right-click on the download link and download an MP3 to email to friends, or that you can share by burning onto a CD or something of that nature. And even if they're not your friends, you might want to give it to them. We're certainly providing relevant information, but we are irreverent, so maybe your friends won't be your friends after you give them the tape. Just kidding. All right, big week. Big week last week. We had Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is a pretty important day to commemorate. It also happens to be Stonewall Jackson's birthday, another great man that we should commemorate. And it was also the day that this doofus that we call a president got inaugurated for a second term. It's still surreal. I can't believe America elected that moron. But, hey, it is your choice. We also had on Friday two big events. We had the annual March for Life, unfortunately, it's been 40 friggin' years that we've been doing this thing, on the anniversary of the constitutionally flawed Roe versus Wade decision that basically, without actually being law, legalized the murder of innocent children in their mothers' wombs in our country. We also had the vote for the RNC chairman at the RNC winter meeting, and it went well, exactly as predicted, since only two of the 168 RNC committee members had the guts to stand up in opposition to Rince Pubic. And you needed two committee persons from three states to get Mark Willis into nomination, and at the last minute, Nevada acted like a bunch of pussies and backed out. So that left no opposition for the first time in God knows how long for RNC chair, and the RNC did what the RNC does, and they reelected a douchebag loser who has apparently one tool that he can play, and that is that apparently he's a good fundraiser. I don't know if he uses knee pads or, you know, lots of Vaseline, who knows. But whatever it is, he manages to get the money. He seems to not be able to do another, you know, anything else right. I mean, on TV and on the press, he's a complete buffoon. He looks uncomfortable. He's squeamish. He can't speak. Turns people off. And, of course, he's a lying, thieving little shit because the rules that were forced through illegitimately at the Tampa Convention basically tell you, grassroots, to shut the hell up and just give us your money and show up and vote for whichever douchebag rhino we tell you to vote for. That is not how you run a party. Well, that's not true. That is exactly how you run a party if your intention is to run it into the damn ground. Now, frankly, I could care less because I could give a crap about Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, or anybody else. Parties are a necessary evil. It is a good function to share information, build an infrastructure for political ground game. But frankly, I really don't care about parties, and frankly, neither should you. The simple fact is that in this country, you are electing men and women to office. It doesn't really matter what friggin' party they belong to, because you're either electing people of honor or people who are going to fall prey to the corruption. And we always focus on one election every 4 years as if it's the be-all, end-all, right? You know, oh, my God, Obama's going to win. The country's going to go to hell. Obama is just the current tool in charge. He's not that scary. You know, is he a citizen? Is he not as a citizen? Is he qualified? Is he a Muslim? Is he not a Muslim? Is he a socialist? Is he a who cares? The bottom line is he sucks. And even if you happen to be a liberal, a Democrat, he still sucks because he's wrong on just about 90% of your issues as well. So, you know, let's be clear about something. The fact is that our founding fathers gave us a system of balance and division in order to set one aspect of power against the other, co-equal, therefore you have a ballast against corruption in one or the other because they'll be in competition. It is a way of taking the innate fallen nature of man and using it to check the innate fallen nature of man. It's actually a pretty brilliant move. And so what you have to realize is that the president is only one portion of the problem. The other portion of the problem is the purse strings. Because you see, the president doesn't make law. Now, this president thinks he does, and frankly, so did the compassionate conservative idiot before him. Presidents don't make laws. They execute the laws that Congress makes. Congress is supposed to make the laws, and there are certain things that they cannot advocate doing, and there are certain things that they cannot do as enumerated in the Constitution unless it is properly amended. For example, Congress cannot abdicate its authority over the money. It is supposed to set weights and measures for standard use. It is supposed to value the value of coin, which can't be printed because it's minted, it's coin, and foreign coin. It is not allowed to abdicate that to a private monopoly bank. But, of course, 100 years ago this year, those jerk-offs did just that. The other thing is that the House is where all the revenue bills originate. So whatever stupid programs the socialist in chief comes up with, he cannot do them unless the Speaker of the House, currently a relatively small man prone to tears with a odd orange glow about him, named John Boehner, unless he gives him the money. So for all of you alleged conservatives who call yourselves Republicans out there, whatever the hell Obama does that you don't like, you got to take responsibility for reelecting John Boehner, because that's the dickhead that gives Obama the money by which to screw things up. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So, anyway, what's going on with the grand old party? Well, first thing to keep in mind is the grand old party wasn't always grand old. In fact, in the 1860s, it was brand spanking new. It was one of those dangerous, subversive, radical third parties. That time you had the Democrats, which was principally the party of Andrew Jackson, with whom I agree strongly vis-a-vis issues of a central bank, and also with whom I disagree strongly vis-a-vis nullification and screwing around with the Electoral College. That was the Democrats, the Democratic Party. I apologize. Democrat is apparently a pejorative term for them, which I don't mind pissing you Democrats off because, frankly, I think y'all are just nuts. Not that the Republicans are much better. So here you got the Whig Party, which is, if you go back a century, was actually the liberal party by the classical definition of liberal, which is what our founding fathers were. And then the American Whig Party sort of became this oxymoronic thing, which today we would probably call big government conservatism. Like, what the hell is that? I mean, if your conservative platform is advocating for a smaller government, lower taxes, which, by the way, doesn't mean lowering the income tax rate because the income tax is friggin' illegal. It means lower taxes as in tariffs, sales taxes, excise taxes, that sort of thing. Lower taxes, smaller government, and a free market. Well, if that's the case, then how can you be a big government conservative, Mr. Santorum, Mr. Boehner, Lindsey Graham, Mr. John McCain? You know, how is that possible? It's not. It is not. And that's where the term RINO comes from. We throw that around, you know, around a lot, RINO, Republican in name only. It could apply to, you know, people who are actually conservatives these days. They would be Republican in name only. But it's generally a pejorative term if you're going by the assumption that the Republican Party is the conservative party. Now, one can argue that the Republican Party is the more conservative party as compared to the Democrats. I don't know what that means because, you know, just because you're more of something doesn't necessarily mean that you are that thing. You just happen to be closer to it. I mean, one could argue that the Soviet Union was more communist than Nazi Germany, which was socialist, but both of them were basically collectivist states. So, you know, it's a slight difference in degree. So, yeah, okay, the Republicans might be more conservative simply because they have the weighting of actual conservatives like, oh, I don't know, Justin Amash, Rand Paul. So I guess they would be weighted to conservative. But it's not really a conservative party. Now, it does have a relatively conservative platform, but 90% of those guys and gals don't vote that way. So is it really the conservative party? Well, it isn't. It not anymore, and especially after what they did. I mean, how many chances did they have? They had the primaries, right? You had Gingrich, Paul, Bachman, Kane, Santorum, Perry. There was a lot of choices, and they just kept on telling you the inevitable and most electable was some guy named Romney, okay? It was a lie. And then when it looked like people were saying, no, we don't want this guy, give us another guy, they started cheating at all the state conventions and caucuses. And then we got to the convention where they just completely changed the rules at the last minute and implemented some rules. In fact, they even had to send national committeemen from the Commonwealth of Virginia, Morton Blackwell, on a magical mystery tour with an armed guard in a bus in order to not get him to the rules meeting because he was objecting to John Sununu and Ginsburg from putting forward these rules that effectively wipe out the voice of the states, the caucuses, the conventions, the primaries, and any of the grassroots. It's basically, you know, just the RNC who decides what's going on. Okay. Well, you know, that sucks. But, hey, you know, some of those RNC people will, you know, they're from the Ron Paul Revolution. They're Ron Paulers, you know. So we can expect some resistance at that level. Well, last Friday told me, no, that you can't. Because last Friday there were 168 committee people meeting, and only two of them had the guts to stand up and say, no, Mr. Priebus, no, you do not get to get reelected. And that was, of course, Mark Willis, and we had the privilege of talking with Mr. Willis on a midweek show last week. Please check it out in archives. Honorable man, and he stood up and was at least looking for competition. You know, Mark's not crazy. He's an intelligent man. He knew that he probably had no shot at actually winning, but he wanted to challenge Priebus and have Priebus answer for the things that he did and also put forward his eight-point plan and bring up some other things which would be good for the grassroots. And Ashley Ryan, committee woman from Maine, stood up also. But all these other so-called Ron Paul Revolution Republicans, well, they shut their mouths, bent over, grabbed their ankles, and played Republican. Well, it seems to me like this Ron Paul Revolution has taken the same stupid turn that the so-called Tea Parties did. Y'all got appropriated by the Republicans. And if that's the game you're going to play, you're going to get rolled over. You know, don't give me this crap of it's, you know, not the right time. We have to bide our time. There's no time left. Okay, how many chances you can give these people? You know, that old cliche, it is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. Well, that's bullshit, because the devil's going to gobble you up at some point anyway. He'll only keep you around so long as you're useful to him. So you got appropriated, you know, and it sucks. So, you know, it's not pleasant. And I really wish you hadn't, because I thought that you were the last ballast after the Tea Parties got appropriated. Well, you got appropriated. So, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean that the Republicans are the Whig Party? In many ways, yes. I mean, the Whigs made themselves irrelevant. And so this upstart party, known as the Republican Party, managed to have a convention, and they put forward a former Whig by the name of Abraham Lincoln, and lo and behold, he won. That radical alternate third party strategy worked out, and suddenly the Republicans became the second party in the two-party system, eventually leading to a duopoly and corruption. But nevertheless, the third party back in the 1860s was the Republican Party that we refer to as the Grand Old Party. These days, you might as well just say that, you know, they got only progressives. But, you know, the fact is that they are the, quote, second party. They are the more conservative party. And the real question is, are they going the way of the Whigs, as in disappearing and being displaced by another conservative party? Or are we going to go into a multiple-party system? Or are the Republicans just going to manage to keep snowing you conservatives and you keep voting for them thinking they'll eventually become more conservative, and they won't? Who knows? That's what the future holds for us to find out. And there is a rules meeting in April where we've got some conciliatory statements from Republicans saying that they'll look at some of the rules, probably not enough of them to make the grassroots count for anything. But nevertheless, you know, so what's the approach? What do you do? You know, if you're a Republican, what do? You stick with the party and try to fight it out? Do you burn the party and leave? I've seen people do both things. And I'll tell you, I think that it's foolish because, you know, in politics – you got to be realistic. That does not mean you compromise your principles. It doesn't mean that you know, pussyfoot around with issues and stuff like that. It means you have principles, but you also have to be realistic as to what is and is not possible. In the next few election cycles, it is not possible. I mean, it's possible, but it's extremely unlikely that you are going to get an alternate party candidate for any of the big offices like the White House or the Speaker of the House. It's probably not going to happen. So there you got two choices, Democrat, Republican. I would say that you got a higher probability of success for conservative principles with the Republicans, although it's not that wonderful a prospect. So, you know, I wouldn't abandon the party that way. Now, does that mean that you have to remain a member? No. Does it mean that you should become a member? No. You can do what you want. But, in some states, if you want to participate, you got to be. Other places are a little bit more fluid, and you can still advocate, put forward your ideas, visit the party meetings as a guest, influence others to vote without having to join. You got to do what your conscience calls you to do. I'm far too much of a recalcitrant to join a party, thankfully, in my Commonwealth, I've got some flexibility there. In your state, maybe you don't. So on the national level, it's a duopoly. It shall remain a duopoly for a while. But here's the interesting thing. Our founding fathers gave us a system which essentially made Washington, D.C. relatively inconsequential on most things. There are very few things in which Washington would actually come into play. Now, granted, Washington thinks that it's always into play, so it has decided to explode itself into every aspect of your life. But the fact is that the states is where the real action is. The localities is where your voice can actually still be heard. And that's where you want to get busy. Because here's the thing. A war is coming. And, oh, Rex, are you talking about a civil war? They're taking our guns. No, no, no. A political war is coming. That political war, I'm not saying it eventually won't get to bullets, but for a while it won't. And that's the part I'm talking about. Because the best way to win a war is just never having to fight it in the first place. Okay? And the war I'm talking about is the war between the sovereignty of the states and the encroachment of the government. It's coming. It's already happening. There are states that are not participating in the so-called Obamacare exchanges. There are states that are nullifying Obamacare, nullifying gun laws. It's happening, okay? And it's a beautiful thing to watch because this is exactly what the Founding Fathers intended. Now, is it always supposed to be nice and pretty? No, they knew it wouldn't be. It's always going to be in conflict because human beings are conflicted creatures, and we are always going to be in conflict, which is precisely why this system was set up. And right now, the balance of power has shifted far too much to D.C., and it's time for the states to start asserting themselves through nullification, threats of secession, legislation, appropriations. There's a lot of things the states can do. And this is where you may want to look at alternate parties in your state. And, you know, there's ostensibly there's two major, three major alternate parties. I doubt that too many people in my audience are interested in the Green Party, so we won't talk about them too much. But there is the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party. The Constitution Party is what the Republicans purport to be. An actually conservative party that expresses its Christian values outwardly and overtly and is proud to be constitutionalist. On the other side, you have the Libertarian Party, which is also constitutionalist, only libertarians tend to be a little bit more fast and loose with some of these so-called social issues. I'm in favor of both parties because I think that they both adhere to the Constitution, and in the areas where they differ, I think that that's exactly what our political process is about. Let's debate those things. Let's fight about them. Let's get them out in the open, and let's figure out in which direction we want to go together within the framework of the Constitution as to what can and cannot be legislated. So that's the really, you know, that's the thing. So a lot of you, and you heard me play Bluto's speech from the movie Animal House at the beginning, and for those of you who popped in late, I'm going to give you a shorter version of it right now, because I want you to remember, you're not down, it's not over, and, you know, frankly, if the Republicans come and go, who cares? I mean, do you really care about the Republican Party and the elephant and the logo and all that crap? No, you cared about the Republican Party because you thought that they represented conservative values, the values that were brought to the forefront by men like Goldwater, Reagan, Gingrich, Paul, Amash, okay, and another Paul Jr., you know, Rand Paul. So that's why you loved it. Well, if it doesn't represent those things or if it just merely talks to those things and then shuts you up, well, what do you care about it? Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't seek your revenge on the Republican Party and don't give it your blind allegiance. And I would say that for all parties. You know, it's about candidates. It's about issues. It's about principles. You know, that's the way you have to look at it. So here's a little clip Bluto's speech.
Hey! What's this lying around shit? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
All right, so, you know, was it over? You know, I mean, it might be over for the Republicans, but, you know, work with the tools that you have. And on the national level, the Republican Party is the tool that you have. On the local and state level, not so much. Now, if you've got a really good conservative who happens to still be a Republican for whatever friggin' reason locally and you got to support him, then by all means, you're supporting him, you're supporting her, you're supporting that candidate, the principles that they stand on, not necessarily the party to which they belong. But if you can find somebody who aligns more with your beliefs and principles in the Constitution who happens to not be a Republican, maybe they're a Constitution Party candidate, maybe they're in the Libertarian Party, then you can support them without having to necessarily support that party on the national level or abandon the Republican Party. Because the idea here is that you've got to put forward conservatism constitutionalism over against any other little faction that you got. Because if you don't, then you're screwed. Okay? Joining me is Chris from Coalition of Freedom, who just got wrapped up doing his, I think, 13th show on gun control. Chris, how are you?
Tired of gun control.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm doing fine. It's such a ridiculously simple conversation. It's one of the small, shortest, most succinct amendments there is. I mean, you know, it's a line, you know, two
yeah.
lines. Depends how you write.
Yeah.
How freaking hard is it to go, you know, to thou shall not infringe? You know, it just says it all right there. Leave the damn thing alone and get out of our lives. You've got enough control, gun control laws. But it has to be talked about, so we are. And we actually did a free-for-all tonight. We had
nice.
A bunch of people in there, you know, and so I didn't really focus on a specific, you know, set of criteria. So it was a good free-for-all. It turned out really well. And Randy's not over here yet?
Yeah, no, Randy's right here. This is Randy, otherwise known as Gunny, who's the soft-spoken, mild-mannered, National Vice Chair of the Constitution Party joining us. I hope that I'm not being too loud for you, Randy.
Yeah, well, you got to chuckle out of my wife on that one.
Well, yeah, I do entertain as I inform.
Yeah.
I think we had a good show. I think we had a good show, Randy. We were all over the map, but we covered our rabbit holes well, you know.
Excellent. Well, you're allowed to be all over the map.
About freedom.
Yeah, it's about freedom. You're allowed to be all over the map. On my show today, we're talking about the GOP going the way of the Whigs, and my co-host Tex is otherwise occupied. He might be joining us shortly, so you
cool.
two gentlemen get a little bit more rain than usual. But I do want to try to keep it focused on this disaster that the Republicans have visited upon themselves, and you know, help people process how to do that. Now, you know, I will give a caveat here. Randy is the National Vice Chair of the Constitution Party. And by all means, I'm going to give him the floor if he wants to convince y'all disaffected Republicans to join him in building the Constitution Party. But just so that we're clear, I am not advocating that position only. I clearly here on Tex and Rex, we are for conservatism, whether it be in the Constitution Party, the Republican Party, the Libertarian Party, or no friggin' party at all. But to be fair, you know, Randy has a vested interest because he believes that that party is the party of the future, and I think that he should be able to make that case. But, Randy, y'all have had some significant success at the state level, and didn't you almost get a governor in Colorado from your party?
Yeah. Well, you know, what was it, 2008 elections?
I believe that's when it was.
Yeah. You know, and now his name slipped my mind, but you know, he did. In fact, what was interesting about that particular idea that not Duncan Hunter, Tom Tancredo almost became the first Constitution Party governor in the United States. And what's real interesting, in addition to his almost becoming the governor, the Republicans almost became a third party. They almost lost established party status in that state because they did so poorly, because there is a between him and the Democrat took most of the votes. And I think they only had like 1 or 2% above the threshold where they would have become an unestablished party, a new party again, you know, a third party, as some are called. But here in Illinois, interestingly, there is no such thing as a third party. There's only two types of parties. Either you are an established party or you're a new party, and that means you're trying to become an established party. So you're either established or unestablished here in Illinois. There is no such thing as a third party. And one other little caveat I'd like to throw out there is this, Rex, and that's the fact that not only am I the national vice chairman for the Constitution Party, I'm also on the board of directors of Free and Equal. I believe that we need to have a multi-party system. I believe that we need to have equal footing in the political arena to be able to elect candidates, to provide competition. And I believe it is competition that will eliminate most of the corruption and all of these, because when people's jobs are actually threatened, things will start changing. So, in terms of a party structure, you know, I wish there was no such thing as parties. But, you know, and Washington, George Washington warned us against parties, or what he called factions. And we're suffering most of what he warned us against. However, the caveat is that not all founding fathers believed the same thing as Washington, because it was Madison and Jefferson that formed the first political party, and because they thought it was good to understand who the birds of a feather were that were flocking together. And so they knew who were with them. They knew who the opponents was. And I think that's an important point here to understand, that, you know, the necessity of parties is that, you know, you can pretty well tell who a person is based upon what party that they are associated with. Now, part of the problem...
I don't know about that. I
agree. But here's the thing. The reason why it doesn't work is because we've got a two-party system that is pretentious about representing the political ideology of the citizens of these United States of America. How is it possible that two parties can represent the wide spectrum of political philosophy out there? It is impossible, and thereby it creates its own necessity to have what's called rhinos, Republicans in name only. And I suggest that there's also dinos out there too. It's inherent in the system. Because you had, I mean, I would be a rhino if I was going back. And people said, well, Randy, why don't you come back and help us reform the party from within? Well, I'd be a rhino. That's why.
Well, and you can't do it right now with the current rules, unless you're in the RNC, you can't reform crap. I mean, maybe at the state level you could, but on the national level, you just, you know, forget about it. We'll see what they do with the rules meeting in April. But basically, the Republicans just basically said that we are now the party of the consultant elite, and you rank and file grassroots reprobates. You vote and you give us money, but you have no voice. And I'm suspecting that the Constitution Party is probably a place where people have a lot of voice, Randy.
Well, absolutely. And let me tell you, when somebody calls for division of the House, we count the votes. Yeah, it's just insane that, you know, I was listening to that audio clip at the RNC when they were talking. You know, they were yelling and screaming. There was a chant, you know, to
keep them now.
Yeah, a chant to count the votes. And the fact that here's the thing, Rex, and this is the thing that I don't understand. I mean, if I was in the Republican Party, one of two things would be happening. Either my voice would be recognized and it would make a difference, or I'd be in jail. There's not a fat freaking chance, if I was a member and a delegate at that convention, that we would not have a counting of the votes. I'm telling you, I'd gone up there and somebody would have gone on the floor for violating our principles.
They pulled Mr. Smith on him.
I'm sorry, but I agree. I think when we were all tracking this thing and doing our radio shows and, you know, moving into the convention and working towards a broker convention, and I saw what was happening in front of my face, I was going, why are you allowing this to happen? That was what got me frustrated.
Well, I don't understand how you could say, why are you? Man, baby, it'd be me up there on that stage punching somebody saying, look, we are going to count the freaking votes here.
Well, gentlemen, just so that we can remind the audience what's going on, I'm going to go ahead and play a 2-minute clip that includes the chant of seat them now and the vote and all that good stuff. And we've got a caller from 903 joining us. So I'll get you on the other side of this 2-minute clip.
Motion offered by the delegate from Kentucky. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Those opposed, no.
The decision caused an immediate uproar, but RNC Chair Ryan Priebus was in no mood to take a roll call.
Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table. We have to proceed with the order of business.
That's just some of the chaos that occurred at the Republican convention in Tampa when delegates who were duly elected to represent their districts, their states, were not given a voice, according to Robert's Rules of Order, by the pre-planned teleprompter votes headed by little Prince Pubic, John Crying Tan Boehner, John Sununu, and all the rest of the rhinos. So area code 903, you are live with with Rex on the Tex and Rex show. Who are you and what's on your mind?
Hey, Rex. This is Mary Liz.
Hey, Mary. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just listening. I'm just kind of winding down from a busy week and just got on Facebook and saw you were on and got on to listen.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and if you want to mute yourself, I'll keep your mic open. Otherwise, I'll close your mic. You can hit me up in chat if you want to chime in later.
I'm on a tablet, so I don't have chat.
No problem. All right. Well,
you can leave it live. It's fine.
I'll leave you on, and you chime in if you feel like it. Just if you have a mute function, that'd be great so we don't get any background noise while we're chatting. But I'll keep you here, and if you got anything to add, just jump on in.
All right. Thanks.
All right, thanks for listening, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I will bring on the other two mild-mannered gentlemen. I'm sure that they might have something to add to the conversation. Randy, was that what you were talking about? That
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely what I was talking about. I just, you know, I don't see how they didn't, you know, just swarm the stage and say, you know, we are taking our party back. It just, it's unconscionable to me that that didn't happen if people are serious about taking back their party, just to let that continue to happen. I mean, but, you know, the fact is that the very similar things happened 4 years ago and they did nothing. So, you know, I had already predicted that this is exactly, you know, not only with this Priebus thing, but with, you know, last year's national RNC, and then, of course, the state here in Illinois was doing exactly the same thing before it headed over to national. So, you know, that this is any kind of surprise tactics at all is you know, it's like, look, folks, really wake up and smell the coffee here.
Well, I think that it's going to take people experiencing pain on a personal level to get involved. I think
that's
going to
happen
just,
soon.
Yeah,
it hasn't already.
I just think, yeah, I think that's the key. There's just so many people get so busy in their own lives with their own kids and with their own business and all that they don't really get involved in politics and they don't really pay attention. And
Politics is involved with them, though. That's the problem.
Oh,
politics
exactly.
is involved in every aspect of your life. You don't. It's not a spectator sport in America. Politics. It's mandatory. You don't have a choice. Not only because they're screwing with you, but because in this country you have the sovereign power. Therefore, it's your duty to be involved. You can't just abdicate that.
Exactly.
That's just wrong.
I know, but it may be wrong, but I'm just saying that is like a big majority of how many Christians didn't vote this time? I mean, it's just a huge amount of people didn't vote in the election.
Yeah, well, it's especially bad for Christians because we're under a moral obligation to participate. And the interesting thing to me, though, is that the founding fathers set up this system precisely for that kind of apathy.
Yeah.
And the parties are set up precisely for that kind of apathy. I mean, if all you're going to do is show up and pull the lever for whatever, you know, blue team, red team, elephant, donkey, RD, whatever, then, you know, fine. But who's the candidate running? Well, that's going to be decided by the grassroots, who actually are aware, informed, and active. That's precisely how the system was set up. And the Republicans have basically just reversed that.
Republicans
the
and Democrats.
Hard,
yeah.
Well, the thing that's hard right now with the grassroots is that we're just so everyone's out every direction. And like Chris said, I mean, it's so difficult to, like, try to get a group to, like, do anything. I mean, it's just like for this voting for chair. I'm so upset that, you know, that Mark didn't win. I mean, we knew that he had just a very slim chance, or even slimmer than slim. But
he wasn't even nominated.
But see, the bad news is that the guy that's the chair, he's a crook. He's so corrupt. And so, I mean, I don't know what to do to get the RNC's attention.
You know, the fact
except
is
for
that
just send him a note or letter or something and say, just take me off your list. I'm not with you anymore. I don't know. How do you unjoin them? I've been with them for 30-something years. How do you
unregister?
Listen, I haven't been a Republican for well over 10 years now. I've been a Constitution Party. I've been building this party. There's not a person in this state that thinks I'm a Republican. But guess what? I get all of these presidential letters and stuff, you know, these surveys. You have been selected to represent the Republicans in your area.
Crap, they send you that crap because these consultants are getting money from the party, which is basically the contributors. You, Mr. and Mrs. America, are paying for this party to, you know, market this crap. And in marketing systems that don't work, I mean, you're sending Republican solicitations to people who already have another party affiliation, like Randy, who's a Constitution Party, or I get that crap, and I'm thinking to myself, look, I've never been affiliated with you people because I haven't trusted you since George H.W. Bush.
Given them money, and I'm not giving them any more money. I'm not going to give them a cent, and I've told them that every time they call.
Applause to you. Kudos to you. And everybody else of you, when they call you, you tell them why you're not giving them money. Don't just hang up the phone. Tell them why just like Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I mainly tell them because of the way they acted in Tampa. I mean, some people think that's not any big deal. That was a huge deal. And y'all bring it up a lot, but the reason why you do is because that was corruption at a really high level, and changing the rules like they did. I mean, they had no integrity at all. None.
Yes, but Mary, they're going to fix it. Guys, just listen to this. They're going to fix it.
No,
Mary, you got it all wrong. They're going to fix it. They're going to become the happy party. Okay, listen to the words of your new leader, Reince Priebus. We must compete in every state and every region, building relationships with communities we haven't before. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it right. I'm not twitchy enough. At the RNC, we are dropping red and blue analysis. We must be a party concerned about every American in every neighborhood. We must develop the best technology with the help of the best minds and train activists, volunteers, and candidates with the modern tools of a modern party. Fabulous. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the new happy Republican Party. Now, if you go, you know, historically, in English language, there was another word we used for happy. We used to say gay. Of course, now that means something completely. Now that means something completely different. But I'm going to go and mute your mics because I want everybody to hear this. This is little Prince Priebus on I think it's the Situation Room with the Wolfman. Talking about the new happy party. Okay, so here's a clip.
The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on CNN.
Look, we got to let everybody in the door, Wolf. We've got to be we got to be a happy party. We've got to be a growing party. We're going to have to be positive. You know, we're right on the economics, but I think it's time to inspire with a smile, talk to every American, no matter what state you're in, and start building a party through the concept of addition and multiplication, not division and subtraction. And I think, you know, Bobby and I see totally eye to eye, and that's why I invited him to give that speech.
And you're referring to some of those ridiculous comments that what Todd Akin made when he was a Republican senatorial candidate in Missouri. Richard Murdoch made similar comments in Indiana about rape and abortion, women's rights, and that really hurt the Republican brand. How do you avoid that down the road?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, some of these things happen, and you can't carpet the world as much as you try to, and you want everything to be perfectly done, and you want candidates to have comments coming out of their mouths that don't embarrass the party. But in those particular cases, I think those are one-offs, and I think people understand that's not our party. But you know what? This is about moving forward, Wolf, and growing the party, and I think that you're going to see kind of a renewed resurgence in that sort of, you know, a party that celebrates the American dream, the Constitution, liberty, but we do it by being right on the specifics, but we do it with a smile, too. And I think that is something that you're going to see a lot more of in our party.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin ripping that crap apart. I'll open up mics up in a second, but I just want to say, first of all, candidates who say embarrassing things, it's a one-off. And it's interesting, the two that they pick on are actually conservatives, right? And it shows you how Priebus just plays right into that liberal media paradigm without even putting any opposition. You remember always, you know, Newt's always so oppositional. Well, that's because when the liberal media tries to paint a ugly picture, he always straightens them out and says, you're asking the wrong question, and then he pushes them in another direction. Priebus, either A, doesn't have the ability to do that, and or B, he doesn't want to do that because, you know, he's a wuss. But, you know, the candidate that kept opening his mouth and screwing things up, that was his boy. That was Mitt Romney who did that more than any other, which is, you know, why they lost. So it's pretty pathetic. But the happy party, I mean, I just find that fascinating. Notice the other buzzwords he used, liberty, the Constitution. You know, they're obviously paying attention to what we are saying. And when I say we, I don't. You know, I'm not that much of an egomaniac. It's not just Tex and Rex, but, you know, the Liberty Movement, Tea Party, Real Conservatives, they're listening to what we're saying, and they're taking those words and they're using them to appropriate you just like they appropriated those, quote, Ron Paul committee people, okay? Now, listen to this. This is Michael Falcone, and remember, all the articles we read and clips are posted on our Facebook page in the comments section under the post for the show, so make sure you go to the Tex and Rex show Facebook page and like the page, and you'll find all this information there. But Michael Falcone on January 24th wrote this. Think you've heard the last of Newt Gingrich? Think again. The former House Speaker, an unsuccessful presidential candidate, I don't know if he was unsuccessful, he just got throttled like Ron Paul by the Rhino machine, which runs like a nascent Chicago machine. Sounds like he's back, and by the standing ovation received at the RNC winter meeting, better than ever. In characteristic fashion, he counseled his fellow Republicans on Thursday to be cheerful and persistent as they continue their period of post-election soul-searching. Now, cheerful is not necessarily happy, but I guess Priebus couldn't quite copy Newt, you know, verbatim, so he said the happy party. But Gingrich did bring it up, and he said, we need to learn to be a happy party. He said, and remember something, it was Gingrich who in the primary when they said, you know, describe yourself in one word, he said cheerful. You know, the man's spot on. But Gingrich expressed no such cheer about the message that the one who will not be mentioned, Mitt Romney, communicated during the presidential campaign, in particular the GOP's hidden camera comments that 40% of Americans are going to vote for Obama no matter what, because they're dependent on the government. He said, Gingrich speaking, I am for 100% of the American people believing that they have a party that cares about their future. And then he went on to say, if you think you're going to target less than 100%, you're not going to get any more business. He's absolutely right. I mean, you know, if conservatism is such a winning message, it's not unappealing to everybody. It has to be appealing to everybody. He described the GOP as a party on offense on every level except the presidency and urged his fellow party leaders to draw contrast with the incompetence of Obama's reforms and the competence of Republican governors and GOP state legislators around the country who are spearheading innovative ideas. Notice he didn't mention the Congress and the Senate. What does that tell you? Newt's real smart. Think of Newt as the guy who saw firsthand where the party went wrong in 2012. Gee, I wonder why, because he had a front row seat to all the crap that was coming against him and Ron Paul, and he's working to make sure it never happens again. I really believe Newt's earnest about making sure it never happens again, but the only question is, can he get his hand far enough up Priebus's ass to puppet him better than he's doing now? And hopefully, you know, Newt's got the personality to really dominate little Priebus and throttle him into getting where he needs to be. This is where Gingrich talked about the election. You know, he was wrong about the election. Well, I mean, what was he going to say? The man had to cheer for the party, even though he knew it was going down. He says, "I felt like a pilot whose radar had pointed him straight into a mountain." The former House Speaker said he would be working close with the RNC and its chairman, Reince Priebus, and actually clarified, this is a new saying, as closely with Reince as he can tolerate. Well, I don't think Reince can tolerate too much, but Newt's got a pretty strong personality. He said, "I'm prepared to say bluntly what we need to do, and I'm prepared to pick fights with people that don't want to do it." All right, so Newt is there working hard trying to fix the GOP from the inside, and I applaud him for it. And in places where our paths cross, I'll even help him. Obviously, I seriously doubt that the presidential election is one of those places, but, that's pretty much going to be your choices in 2016. You're going to get the choice of a Republican and a Democrat. There will be alternate party choices, but, be realistic. That's not the place where alternate parties are playing right now because the rules are stacked against them. But on the state level, you can make some serious changes. So if you're pissed at the Republicans, don't seek revenge on the party. That won't do anybody any good. What you need to do is play offense with conservative candidates from other parties or even in the Republican Party, if that's where they happen to be, at the local and state level, because the fight between the states and the federal government is coming, and you want conservatives on the side of the states. And then, support the Republican candidates where you really have a vacuum, meaning in the areas like the presidency where you've pretty much got, probably Hillary Clinton, and then you're going to have your choice of, Rhino Rubio, Rhino Bush, Rhino... Well, I don't know. Jindal may not necessarily be a rhino, but, he does have some rhino tendencies. Or maybe Rand Paul. And if that's the case, then, you pick the most conservative one of those and you run with them. Now, does that mean that you have to work real hard to get the president elected next time? Yeah, maybe not. It's an important position, but, it's not all there is. Your governor is probably going to be a more important person in your life between 2016 and 2020 than the president. So you better learn who's running for governor in your state, and that's where you might want to move the alternate party. Mics are open. Why don't I go ahead and throw it to Chris and then Randy and then Mary. If you want to chime in after that, feel free.
Go Randy first. I'm doing some research. Sorry.
No problem.
I was trying to absorb everything. You said so much. I was trying to absorb it all.
Yeah, well, we are radioactive, and I don't have my counterbalance today, so I'm just rolling. Randy?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, you talk about revenge. Don't take revenge out of the Republican Party. And I don't entirely disagree with that. But my position is take revenge on the two-party duopoly. And it is a two-party duopoly. And I think you guys were hitting the nail on the head earlier. And I think part of the problem for me about Newt and with Ron Paul, look, it's now either I'm right and there's something amiss here, or I'm just blatantly wrong on this particular point. But I believe that the Republicans and Democrats are, or should I say, together they are a two-party duopoly, a monopoly, just the left wing, right wing. It looks like there's competition, but there really isn't, because of who controls both parties. And he who controls the parties is he who has the money. Who is he who has the money? Well, it's those people that have the Federal Reserve, that banking cartel. And for me, to understand, or at least believe that I have researched knowledge, educated knowledge. This isn't just a warm fuzzy for me, or just I'm trying to be a conspiracy theorist or any of that. I believe that there is that control, and for me to realize that both Ron Paul and Newt has to see it, and if they see it, then they have to recognize that these power players who actually have the money, who are actually in control, they're never taking the party back. So it's an exercise in futility, and they're just keeping the mass along with them blinded. So I'm just, I don't have that warm fuzzy about what these guys are doing. Now, yeah, I could be just, I could be out left field. You know, tell me, am I really out left field on this? You know,
well, no, it, no, so, no, Randy, you're out in right field.
You know, either I'm right on this, or I'm a loony, and there are days I wonder, because when I hear how brilliant Newt is, and when I hear how brilliant Ron Paul, look, I loved most of the positions of Ron Paul. You know, he certainly seemed to have been a voice out in the wilderness. But the fact is, you know, what did he do? He kept people, you know, oh, well, we might be able to take the party back. We might be able to take the party back. Folks, unless you get rid of those who control it, you're never taking the party back. I don't care if you have this audit, the Fed, or any of this other crap. They're
right.
Still
Randy,
in control.
Randy, you're 100% right, and I agree with you. First of all, I agree with most of Ron Paul's positions because, you know, let's face it, they're Thomas Jefferson's positions, and they're the positions of the Constitution. So anybody who loves this country can't really argue with most of Ron Paul's positions. But I do agree that, you know, he did get the audit of the Fed bill. I don't know, you know, if that's going to do anything. I think Paul Brown has just reintroduced it now that Congressman Paul's retired. But relatively speaking, from a legislative perspective, Ron Paul is fairly ineffective. From a principal perspective and inspiring a movement, I think he was incredibly effective, and I think that his legacy will live on a very long time. Newt Gingrich, on the other hand, you know, certainly conservative, not quite within the limits of the Constitution as much as I would like, but effective. And he was able to move a liberal Democrat who was implementing exactly the same crap that Obama did when he got in there, you know, stimulus, nationalized health care, raising taxes. Newt was able to move Bill Clinton to the right. Now, was it within to the limits of the Constitution? Was it truly fiscal restraint? No, no, and no. But he was able to move it in that direction until the Republicans realized what he was doing and freaked out and got rid of him. So, you know, I will agree with you that, and look, there's a reason that I never you know, got on board with the Republican Party, and it's because I find them to be extremely disingenuous. And, in fact, I think in some ways I find them to be more dangerous than the Democrats. And here's why. And we don't talk so much about the Democrats or Obama on this show, because to me, if you're listening to the Tex and Rex show, it's a given. The Democrats are friggin' communists, and Obama's the biggest communist they got, and nothing good comes from them. So screw them. However, a lot of you are still trying to be loyal Republicans. And since the Republicans are only a hair's length different than the Democrats, a hair's length to the right, they're more dangerous because they lull more conservatives and constitutionalists and liberty-minded folks into going with their stupid agenda than actually fighting it. Just keep in mind that if John F. Kennedy was running today, he would be considered far too right-wing extreme radical for the Republicans.
Yeah,
and he was a Democrat. So,
well, and that's why Reagan. That's why Reagan said, "Look, I didn't leave the Democrat Party; it left me." You know, and the fact is that both of these parties have been controlled at the top, and until you can eliminate that control, you know, it's impossible to make those changes that you're talking about. So, thus the necessity of additional parties. Because you're not
exactly
going to change it. And I'm not talking about, you know, destroying the Republican Party or destroying the Democrat Party. No, I think they need to be there. They make me look good.
Yes, it's contrast, right, for you.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing, though, Randy, and this is what I think, and maybe you can speak to this. This is what people need to understand. Look, like I said, if you're going to be realistic, you're going to use the tools that you have available to you. And the Republican Party is an available tool. Okay, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we've got to be very clear here. The odds of a non-Democrat or non-Republican being commander-in-chief in 4 years is about as close to zero as it gets. But the odds of some state governors, some state senates, some state congresses going alt-party, or at least having a significant representation of Constitution Party, Libertarian Party candidates, that's not out of the question.
Absolutely.
What's holding you back? Well, what's holding you back is draconian rules about ballot access, ridiculous costs, litigation, you know, and all this other crap that they do at the state level, and Randy's experienced it firsthand. It is up to you, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Debates.
To get involved in your state. Yeah, to get involved in your state so that your local and state candidates from alternate parties have access so that they can go toe-to-toe with the Republican and the Democrat. Now, that does not mean that you have to support the third party. Okay? So let's just say you got, you know, regular, you know, loser Democrat, and you get a somewhat, you know, conservative Republican, and then you got the Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, and Green Party candidate all running for, you know, some local state office in your state. Well, if you give them equal footing, then they have to actually show who they are. It's not a this or that. It's everybody's in there, and you got to see who you are. Maybe you find that you're Republican is more constitutionalist and more conservative than your Libertarian or Constitution Party candidate. Great, reelect your Republican. If, well, however, you find that he isn't, and you go, wait a minute, this guy's, you know, he's for NDAA. He doesn't want to nullify NDAA 2013. He doesn't want to nullify the gun ban. This guy's kind of, you know, cooperating with Washington. Boot him out and put in a Libertarian or Constitution Party candidate. But you have to give them access. Go ahead, Randy.
Here's the thing, two things. You know, the fact is, here in Illinois, last year, 118 state representative districts. Guess how many out of those 118 districts had somebody opposing the candidate?
Two?
Well, 78. 78 of those campaigns, of those districts, had no opposition whatsoever. 78 out of 118 had only either a Republican or a Democrat running, no opposition whatsoever. And we wonder why there's such problems.
Yeah. And what you said earlier, and we've used this word on the show a lot, maybe people need to, you know, be reintroduced to it again, duopoly. Duopoly is actually worse than monopoly. Because in a monopoly, you have one... Right, exactly. You have one firm or one option, and you know it. You know that if you want a hamburger, the only place that offers hamburgers is McDonald's. You know that. So you're like, if I want a hamburger, I got to go to McDonald's. Otherwise, screw it. Well, in a duopoly, you got McDonald's, and then you got Wendy's. Right? So you go, oh, I have a choice. Except that McDonald's and Wendy's, and this isn't true, anybody from the McDonald's Corporation or Wendy's Corporation, don't come after me because I know I'm not stating facts. I'm just giving it as an analogy example. McDonald's and Wendy's get their crappy meat from the same place.
No,
so you really don't have a choice.
No, wait a minute, Rex. It's worse than that. The same guy owns both of those.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's not just to get the same meat. It's that same guy owns both places, and he might actually get his meat from different places just so that it seems a little bit different.
Yeah. But it's the same agenda, and the money ends up in the same place. And that's the problem with duopoly. So what you've got here is you've got the Federal Reserve, the banksters who own the consultants and the lobbyists, and most of the corporations. I mean, you know, well, how can they possibly own all the corporations, Rex? Because most of the corporations are publicly traded, and with interlocking directorates of mutual funds and various trusts and institutional investors who, you know, behind the scenes, you end up with pretty much near monopoly ownership by the same guys who own the Federal Reserve. So they buy Congress. And it's not a right-left thing, because these people don't think in terms of right and left the way you are taught to think in terms of right and left. They only think in terms of us and them, meaning us as in the elite who control everything, and them, those people who either are good consumers and good cogs in our corporate machine, or they're those extremists and radicals who say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to play this game.
Actually,
and that's why duopoly is insidious.
Yeah, well, it's even more so when you understand it's not even a us and them. We're not even looked at as them. We are looked at as commodity. When you understand, and I could take you to the resources, the fact is that we as Americans are considered as commodity. We are trade. That's why China own so much of our debt. It's not so much that they are buying debt so much as they are buying the commodity of Americans to pay the debt. That's what people don't understand. We are commodities, not them.
That's right. Because, I mean, let's face it, everybody goes, well, all this debt, how's it created? Well, you know, every piece of money in our current fiat system comes into existence as debt. It is money that you owe to the Federal Reserve. And in order to manufacture more of this money, they need a base of something to put it on top of. It used to be gold. Now they just base it on top of treasury debt What's treasury debt? It's a bond where you say, okay, if you give me X amount of dollars, I'll give you this IOU that's payable in 30 years. In the meantime, I'll pay you interest on it. And you go, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. You pay me interest, then I get my principal back in 30 years. Okay, I'll buy it. How are you going to pay me interest and then pay me back to principal? Oh, it's real simple. You see, we've got these people, and they're working their asses off, and they're creating $16 trillion of wealth a year, and we take 20% of that. And we will be able to do that forever. So therefore, in 30, we'll tax them all along those 30 years to pay your interest, and then we'll tax them like mad at the end of that 30 years to pay off the principal. Except they never pay off the principal. What they do is they restructure it, which means they borrow a shitload more to pay off the loan that they already had. And, of course, then they borrowed even more, so now the interest payment is bigger, which is why, other than Social Security and Medicare, most of your tax dollars service the debt, which is never meant to be paid off, which essentially, just like Randy said, makes you a commodity, as in your labor is used to pay off that debt. And when you work for somebody else forcibly, we have a term for that. It's called
slavery.
Slavery.
Yeah, and what's amazing, Rex, is, you know, as if somebody has, you know, that's listening to your show, typically, you know, they kind of maybe understand this a little bit, but if they go to tell their friends about this, you know, this is so foreign to them, because neither of the two parties, major parties within that duopoly, are going to let people know. And of course, they're controlling the education. That's why there's a Department of Education at the federal level, totally an unconstitutional position. And you know, when we start talking about these things, people look at us like they just cannot get a grasp of it. They have no perspective. They have no, you know, place to put their foot on to wrap their minds around this stuff. So, you know, the bottom line is, yeah, and hopefully me and Chris talked about this earlier, that, you know, we've got to make sure we've got such a huge such a huge thing in front of us to overcome, and that's education, the education of our electorate. And so,
yeah,
you know, when I in fact, you know, I think that I'm going to be forming an exploratory committee to run for the U.S. Senate. You know, I've got to kind of dumb down my campaign for people so that they have an understanding, so that it doesn't look like I'm, you know, swinging around the moon and chasing stars.
Well, you know, I think that's true.
Down my campaign.
You're right. It's true for two things. One, you got to cater to your audience, and most of them are uninitiated, as you just said. And then B, with the rapid Twitter speed of things these days, you can't get that much information. I mean, look, it's very clear to me. And I saw this early on. I've been reading Dr. Paul for near 20 years. And just so that everybody's clear, you know, in this race for the Republican primaries, I was in favor of Speaker Newt Gingrich. But I would hear Ron Paul in the debates, and I completely understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
And other people who would listen to the same debate, even while I was in the same room with them, would tell me, you know, what in the hell did he sounds crazy. What did he just say? Because
yeah,
they didn't have the base knowledge to know what he meant when he was talking about the Federal Reserve, the monetary policy, fiat money, and its relation to war. If you don't have that background, he can't get that out to you in the 22 seconds that they give him to speak. And actually, this weekend, I believe, Dr. Paul gave a great speech at the Mises Institute, and I believe that the clip, to, you know, 28 minutes or so is on our page, but I got a minute of it here, and it's talking specifically about what Randy just talked about. Okay, we need to get in touch with our roots of who we are in principle for liberty, in principle to understand the Constitution and its intention, and to understand how we are supposed to be governed and govern ourselves in order to know who to vote for. So there's a lot of education, and the one thing that Ron Paul has said, and he said he's optimistic about this, is you might be able to shut down the, quote, Ron Paul revolution within the Republican Party. You might be able to stall it, delay it, or permanently get rid of it. You might be able to appropriate the Tea Parties, but there is an intellectual revolution going on in these United States, and that will not be stopped. And if you're listening to this show, you're listening to Coalition of Freedom, Bard's Logic, you're part of that intellectual revolution. Keep studying, keep learning, and keep sharing that information and translate it into action. Because if you want to see people like Randy or people in his party get positions, you're the one who's going to have to do the heavy lifting to change the rules to allow him to go toe-to-toe with the other challengers. if the Republicans and Democrats are so good at what they do, they should be able to stand on their own merits and not have to play games to shut people like Randy up in order to just compete amongst themselves. So real quick, it's about a one-minute clip. This is Ron Paul talking about, you know, it's like a reflection on our rights. It's a small clip of the larger conversation, but I think it's very poignant to what we're talking about right now. Here goes.
You know, we all know the story about the policy of Bastia. You know, the government shouldn't be able to do anything that you and I can't do. If we can't redistribute wealth, steal, rob, and all, the government shouldn't be able to do it. If we can't counterfeit, the government shouldn't be able to counterfeit. We're not allowed to use violence. The government shouldn't use violence. I don't know, this might be a radical idea, but maybe we can do it the other way around. Anything the government assumes they have a right to do to us, we should assume we have a right to do that to them. Now, would it be too radical to say that if the government lies to us, we have the right to lie to the government? Do you have a gun in your house? And how many guns do you have? Do you have gold in your house? How much gold do you have in your house?
All right, that was Ron Paul, and now here I've got I got Rince Priebus's response. Let me find that. There it is. Rince Priebus.
What you have to go and do that for? I didn't bite them. Look at the circles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Have you tried counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
So Randy, how about that? How about if the government thinks they can do these things to us, we can do it to them?
Yeah, well, you know, it reminds me of, I think it was Washington who said, we shouldn't be afraid of our government. Our government should be afraid of us, you know. Okay, I'll just quit on that. But here's the thing, and one of the things that you said, and you're right. While I don't have any particular machinations that we are going to win the presidency in 2016, because of, you know, how – in fact, this is an important point to be made. You know, people say, well, you haven't won a race, you know, and, you know, we frequently point to, well, you know, y'all didn't win a race until Abraham Lincoln won. But here's the thing, and the Republican Party had basically replaced the Whigs at that point in time, but you got to understand, they didn't have the laws such that they were keeping out competition at that point in time. So, you know, unlike back then, we have the Republicans and the Democrats creating law to prevent any outside challenges. They didn't want another Abraham Lincoln to come along. And so, you know, they have done their best to keep out other people from this two-party duopoly. And so, you know, we are facing this down. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, the fact is we have – I hate, in case you missed it the first three times, I hate political parties. But I recognize that we're not going to do away with them. They are a reality that we have to deal with. And it just so happens that the Constitution Party is a tool that I use to try to defeat this duopoly. We're not going to defeat it if we have a whole bunch of independents, because, you know, the fact is that, you know, an independent can be whatever they want to be, however they want to be. There's nothing to really hold their quote-unquote, hold their feet to the fire. And so, you know, they can do or say whatever they want to. But here's the other part about being an independent. An independent leaves no legacy behind whereby you can have a constant and consistent stream of candidates to provide as competition against that two-party duopoly. So we have a necessity for additional parties, for third parties, fourth parties, fifth parties, so that we can provide this constant and consistent stream of candidates. And we here, specifically in Illinois, but even pushing as the national vice chairman, we're pushing for people to get involved at the local level. And I'm telling you, we're having a phenomenal time right now. I've never seen so many people come on board and not just say, well, you know, I'll see what you guys got. They're coming and they are stepping up to positions of leadership. Just this past three days, I could name off four or five people who are taking on four or five different counties and saying, I will help organize those. And taking on leadership to coordinate that effort. That's where we got to start. Get at the county levels so that they can start developing the network, start recruiting candidates at that level. And then when we've got that built, then we can storm the state. And then we've got several states that are that well organized. We can storm this nation with candidates that will provide competition. And we can clean out this corruption and all this other garbage because we can actually threaten people's elected jobs then.
No, Randy, that's absolutely right. And for all of you who are suddenly thinking, oh, my goodness, it's the Constitution Party rising against the Democrats to wipe out the Republicans, let's be clear about something. What Randy is talking about, if you happen to be a, quote, loyal Republican and you like your party, what he's talking about is actually helping you. Because by having the Constitution Party come to prominence as an alternate conservative party, it will force the Republican Party to actually be conservative in order to compete with the Constitution Party. Because if they keep running rhinos that only compete with the Democrats, and here comes the Constitution Party with its conservative candidates, then you'll end up with two parties on the left and only one on the right. And the Republicans are going to have to make a decision. Which party are we going to be? I put it to you that the Republicans will become more conservative with competition from the right. And if they have no competition from the right, they will keep drifting left.
Exactly.
So if you like the Republicans, help the Constitution Party, help the Libertarian Party, because that will make the Republican Party more conservative.
Absolutely.
Because of the rules change or Priebus, just because they'll have to. They will have to compete with them. Now, there's two ways they can go about it. They can keep doing what they're doing now, which is compete with the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party by crushing them with draconian rules at the local level. Or they'll actually have to compete with them on merit, which means conservatism and candidates of good character. But that's up to you, because the rules at the state level are set by you. They're not set by the party, and they're not set by Washington, D.C. That is a state function. You have to get involved, and you have to tell them, listen, this is what I want. I want anybody who wants to get on the ballot to be on the ballot. Oh, well, that'll be complicated. We'll end up with 400 people on the ballot. So what? So what? If that's what people want to choose from 400, let people choose from 400. That's not going to happen, by the way, because that's ridiculous. Even if it does happen, you'll have maybe the top 10 candidates are serious and the other, you know, 390 are ridiculous, and people will know that right off the bat. So, you know, be real. It's not going to happen. Two, you need not only ballot access, but you need your ballots to be a paper and a pen and a write-in. Well, that'll be complicated for people who are blind or who don't have arms. Guess what? We accommodate people with disabilities in every other arena. I'm pretty sure we can figure it out for them to vote too. Okay? So
Absolutely.
We can accommodate them. And then number three is, well, but what about people who have difficulty writing? If you have difficulty with the English language, I'm not so sure that you should be voting. Because we do things in English, American English here. And if you can't read the Constitution, you can't read the rules and the laws, maybe you should get up to speed on that before you consider voting. So don't give me this garbage that it's not fair, because it is a test of qualification, and that's minimum competency, being able to read and write. Number three is counting the votes has to be done in the open where people can see it so that people can't play around with the counting. That's up to you. In the future, Tex and Rex will be bringing you shows on how to do these things at the local level. We'll try to find some experts who can talk to us about that. If anybody has any leads, I'm happy to entertain them. Contact me through our Facebook page. That's the Tex and Rex Show on Facebook. But in the meantime, realize that the Republican Party, whether you like it or not, does have a factor to play on the national scene, at least for the next few election cycles, because the rules enforce them there, and you have one of two choices. Democrats or Republicans. And if you're a conservative, it's likely to be the Republicans, so force them to be as conservative as possible. But don't look to them to be your sole chance for the future, because they will screw you. And you got to build up these alternate parties at the local level and get real people of character who understand the Constitution that can actually affect these changes. And that's instrumental. You have to do that. There is no other option, especially when it comes to your governor, your state legislatures, and your sheriffs. Because, like I said, there's going to be a battle between the states and the federal government. And you want real conservatives on your side in the state, not Republicans only. They may or may not be Republicans, but they had damn well better be conservatives, and more importantly, constitutionalists.
Well, here's the thing, Rex, and you make, you know, you keep hammering the idea of conservative. Well, you know, the fact is, here in Illinois, Southern Democrats are far more conservative than the Northern Republicans. It's just I've been across this state and I've dealt with them, and you know, the Southern Democrats are more conservative than the Northern Republicans. It's just that way. And so if people up there in the North think they're getting, in fact, here's the deal. You know, in 2006, I ran as a write-in. I had only been out of the Marine Corps for 3 years. I was a nobody from Nowheresville that nobody knew, with a name like Stufflebeam, and still received nearly 20,000 officially recorded votes. And we know of thousands that weren't counted because of electioneering by election judges. And I, you know, had the proof, but I, you know, at that point in time, I didn't know what to do with that, but I do now. But the point is, the reason I got 20,000 officially recorded votes is because they provide, the Republicans voted in their primary and elected Judy Bartopinka, who was basically left of Rob Blagojevich. And Rob Blagojevich is where? In prison right now. So, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, they've been doing this, and the mantra or the philosophy is, we're going out after the vote of the left, expecting that all of the right will automatically vote for us. But they're violating those people that their base, they can't even stomach voting for their own candidate. We saw that with Romney. And so what you've got is, in fact, some of the guys that I actually at one point in time had some respect for are talking about, well, almost exactly what Priebus is talking about. We got to make inroads. And I'll tell you, that brings up another thing. You know, they want to say we're going to be the party of smiles. Yeah, while they screw you from behind, they're going to be smiling ear to ear.
Yeah, that's what they usually do. They're called rapists.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you don't want to get raped, then you'd better get active. Now, there's a lot to discuss, and we're going to keep doing it. And Randy, I really appreciate that you came on and gave us some insights into the, you know, local play of alternate party politics. And I say alternate party just because, yeah, we de facto have a two-party system, because those two parties put the system in play that, you know, we're the only game in town. That's what you've got to change, and you can do it. Don't think it's impossible. And don't think for a second that when I say that there's a war coming between the states and the federal government, that I'm some kind of conspiracy theorist. This is real. It's happening now. They're passing legislation all the time. Several states have laws that say that if a gun is manufactured in our state, from materials from our state, and sold within our state, federal laws don't mean shit, and they're right.
That's Montana. So,
yeah, it's happening. It is happening. And if you want to win that fight, which is really the fight between you, the people, and them, the politicians, who do not want to represent you, but want to rule you, then you'd better make sure that your local people are in line with who you are. And you don't just go by their flowery rhetoric, okay? Because, you know, as we can see here in Little Prince Pubis's speech at the RNC winter meeting, he ran up, you know, talked about liberty and the Constitution and the happy party and being inclusive and reaching out to communities. Well, what's his behavior been? You know, let's see. The Republicans are freaking out because we're not appealing to minorities, people of color, women, young people. They came to you in droves, and you told them to get the hell out. Now you want them back. Why would they come back to you? They don't trust you. It's not an issue of whether someone would work with or would not work with the Republican Party. The question is, do they trust you? You've had a number of opportunities to fix this. You screwed up you had the caucuses and the conventions all through the primary season. You screwed up, you screwed up, you screwed up. You had the convention. You cheated, you lied, and you screwed up. Then you had the Boehner election. 12 dissenters, he got reelected. More of you didn't want Boehner, but you didn't have the courage to step up. You stepped in it. Fiscal bluff, you caved. Debt ceiling, you caved. Sequester, I can already hear it, you're caving. So you're not giving us any indication that you're willing to move in the right direction, so we don't trust you. It's just that simple.
Yep.
So, you know,
hey,
let's
Rex,
look
this
elsewhere.
This brings up another point, you know, about, you know, people, because I tell people, you know, I'm with the party of principle. We believe in principle over politics. We believe in morals, the morals that this country was founded on. We believe in the Constitution. And people will ask me, and it's a legitimate question. They say, okay, Randy, you say you're principled now, but what's to keep me believing that you're going to retain this principled stance once you get elected? What's going to keep you from caving in and becoming unprincipled like every other politician is? What's going to keep that? The answer is competition. That's why it's so important. If I fail, then you need to have competition in there to remove me if I violate that trust. But without competition, you have no mechanism whereby you can hold me accountable to the promises and to the positions that I espouse. And so this is why it's so important to understand we've got to destroy this two-party duopoly. It's got to be a multi-party system, not just three parties, because then it will always be, well, you're going to split this vote. Oh, you're going to split that vote. No, we need multiple parties in there where people can vote for the people who actually represent their values. For the most part, the Republicans and Democrats provide nobody that really represents my values. So why shouldn't I be able to have at least a little bit of representation here? Why am I forced to swallow whatever it is that just comes out of this two-party duopoly?
Because you're an extremist. Yeah. You're an extremist, Randy. You talk about things like gun rights and federalism and nullification. I mean, that's some scary stuff.
Yeah, but I deserve to have my bizarre beliefs represented just like anybody else, though.
No, because I checked the Frankfurt School of Cultural Marxism, and none of your beliefs are on that list. Only, you know, sodomy and polyamorous marriage, redistribution of wealth. Those are the only things that are on that list. Your extreme views are not on that approved list of cultural Marxism, so... Sorry, pal.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, you know. But
that's how
it
works. But you know what? That brings up something interesting, Randy. Let's be clear about it, because some people are like, well, but the Constitution Party, you know, they've got this whole like Christian thing going. So if I'm not a Christian, I can't be part of the Constitution Party. Well, that's not true. Okay, there is no compulsion in religion. You have to understand something. God proposes; He does not impose. It's a free will choice. You have to choose to accept Christ. It's not forced upon you. But the principles of liberty that we have inherited from our European heritage, okay, and I don't care if you're from somewhere other than Europe. You could be from the Asian continent, from the African continent, Australia, South America. It doesn't matter. The heritage of the principles of this country came through Europe, which was more formally called Christendom. And so they are values that are embedded in Christian culture, which is built upon the ashes of Roman law, imbued with Hellenistic philosophy and the principles set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And specifically, that came to us through the Anglo-Saxon tradition, which goes back through British common law for a very long time, specifically 1215 Runnymede, the Magna Carta. And this is how our tradition has arisen. So the fact that the Constitution Party professes Christ is not only a religious proposition. It is also a historical precedent of the principles of liberty as we properly understand them in the West, which comes from Christendom. Now, that may not be your thing. That's okay. There's the Libertarian Party. They kind of have an anything goes so long as you don't step on someone else's toes approach. Maybe that's more for you. Or on the national scale, maybe you still have Republican leanings because you think, well, I don't think we're going to look, Gary Johnson had a great run in the last election, and he only got 1.4 million votes, so we're not going to get a third-party presidential candidate. That's probably true. Maybe you want to look to someone like Rand Paul. Well, then you'll say stuff like, well, yes, but I'm a conservative, traditional Christian, and I don't think I can vote for them libertarian Ron Paulers because they're crazy, right? I mean, I've heard that. This is Rand Paul at the March for Life, which happened on Friday during the winter meeting of the RNC in North Carolina. This is 500,000, that's a half a million people, marched on the Mall all the way to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. The news didn't tell you squat about it. Maybe they mentioned the 12 Planned Parenthood protesters that showed up. But 500,000 people showed up in Washington, D.C. to march for the rights of preborn children that were violated by a bad constitutional decision called Roe v. Wade. And Senator Rand Paul, that crazy libertarian psycho, was there. And this is these are his words.
For those who don't respect and won't protect life, can a nation long endure that does not respect the sanctity of life?
No!
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass. Our nation is adrift in a wilderness where right and wrong have become subservient to a hedonism of the moment. I believe our country is in need of a revival. I believe our country is in need of a spiritual cleansing. As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life. I defy them to come to the neonatal nursery with me and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that. We all want change. We march today for change.
Now, would you say that that was a theological argument? Would you say that he was speaking to a church congregation? Would you have a problem with what he said if you're a traditional Reagan conservative? How about if you're a Ron Paul Republican or even a libertarian or anybody who loves the Constitution? Is there a problem with what Rand Paul said? Anybody want to take that? Chris?
Brother, not a problem for me.
Yep. Chris? Oh, maybe he's
hey, you know,
hold on.
Maybe
I was on mute.
Okay, I just want to kind of take just one little itty bitty rabbit trail.
Yep.
Because it's something that you said at the beginning of your show there, Rex. You
okay.
Talked about it being Stonewall Jackson's birthday, and here's the thing: one of our important people in our past, Stonewall Jackson. Are you familiar with how he got his name?
Are you asking me if I'm familiar with it?
Yeah.
If I look 30 degrees to my right, I can actually see Stonewall Jackson and the place he got that name.
Okay, but why was he given the name Stonewall?
Because the Confederates were actually being routed by the more professional Yankee Army, and then came the Virginian professor from VMI and his young troops. And he stood there like a stone wall in the face of those damn Yankees. And everybody, I think it was a Georgia guy who mentioned it. I can't remember who mentioned it, but they said, rally behind the Virginian. There stands Jackson like a stone wall.
Yep. And you know why he stood there? Not just, I mean, it was certainly as a testament to his troops and stuff, but he had a firm belief that there wasn't a bullet that could touch him if it wasn't God's will. And if it was God's will, he knew where he was going if he should be taken out by a round. And so he stood in the face of all of that, knowing that they could not touch him unless God says, it's time for you to go. And so it was his faith that kept him very solid as that stone wall in that moment. And that's one of the things that I want to challenge all of your listeners is that, look, you all say that you got faith. You know, what is your faith allowing you to do or causing you to do? You know, is it causing you to whimper and say, oh, we don't have a chance to win. You're going to split the vote. Well, look. Take a grip of, you know, reality. Let your faith dictate what your actions should be. And look, stand like a stone wall. Take the enemy on. And before you know it, we will take back our states and we'll take back our country.
Yeah. Yep. You know. That's
yeah, and also, it was also very important in those days for the officer to show that you should stand upright in the face of onslaughts of muskets, too, because that's the way they fought. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But
no, you're right. And actually, if any of y'all ever come down this way, you know, Manassas Battlefield is a great place to go see this. And there is a statue of Stonewall Jackson mm-hmm. on his horse, pretty darn close to where he actually stood. And you can actually see it. And, you know, for you Yankees, when I say first and second Manassas, y'all might think of first and second Bull Run. But for some odd reason, y'all like to name your battles after bodies of water, which is kind of strange. We name them after the actual place the battle took place. So that's just one of those quirky things that north of the Mason-Dixon, you know, you lose.
Exactly. I just wanted to say thank you very much for allowing me to have an opportunity to talk about some of these important issues. But I really want people to know and understand, while I certainly have a bias towards the Constitution Party, it is the party that best represents my values. The platform almost succinctly represents what my political beliefs are. The Republican platform does not. The Democrat does not. The Libertarian does not. So I have certainly a bias for the Constitution Party. But, you know, the fact is that I believe that we need the Libertarian. We need the Green Party. And I think, you know, the point is here that I like having those other parties there because they provide a discourse. And if we don't have the answer to the questions that, you know, are raised by their particular positions, then we have no right to think we're going to be successful. And so I think it's important to have all of these parties representing the spectrum of political beliefs so that we can have a real discussion and really start taking the debate and finding out where the people really believe and have that opportunity. So I strongly support the Libertarian, and I strongly support the Green Party being there, though I am virtually diametrically opposed to almost everything the Green Party stands for.
Yeah, about the only thing I can say I agree with the Green Party was when Jill Stein came out. Yes, Jill Stein came out against the indefinite detention provisions of NDAA. Other than that, like Chris said, that Green Party's pretty much a watermelon. It's environmental green on the outside and commie red on the inside. So I agree. But if they want to have a voice, they should have a voice, and they should die on their own merits. Or
exactly. Exactly. And I learned, honestly, anecdotally, I learned a big lesson from the Green Party here in Illinois. When I was running for governor, I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. I didn't have a political bone in my body. And, of course, Republicans aren't going to school me in how I should do things, you know, because I'm obviously a competitor and stuff. So what happened was Rich Whitney, who was running for governor as a Green Party candidate, he contacted me and said, Randy, I am holding a press conference at the Blue Room at the state capitol. It's the press room for the at the Capitol building. And he says, look, come on up there. You can have access to the media. Announce that you're running for governor as well. Now, I'm not giving you my podium, but I, you know, come on up and I'll share the media with you and that sort of thing. And I'm like blown away. This guy is my competitor. We're diametrically opposed in our beliefs. And I learned a big lesson from that about the importance of building those bridges where we can stand united. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with those in the Green Party about having a place at the political table. But, you know, I'll stand against them on their political issues.
Well, Randy, you give me a great segue into two things I want to bring up, and then I'm going to let Chris chime in, since I'm sure he's exhausted from doing his 2 hours of show, but I'm sure he's got wants to chime in on this. But two things. One, I will say that you know, I brought it up, the war between the states and the federal government that is already being waged right now. Keep in mind that last Monday, when What's-His-Face was inaugurated, was also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. and let's take Rosa Parks as an example, they fought a war against the governments, the state and the federal governments, and they fought it with the power of noncompliance. And I think that we have to look to them for that example, because we are all going to be faced very soon with only two options for our approach to man's positive law, not the natural law that exists, whether you like it or not, but the positive law that is passed through legislative action. You're going to have two choices available. Well, three. You can comply, which means just do whatever they tell you, even though it is immoral, violates your conscience, and might actually hurt other people. Or you can non-comply, the way Rosa Parks did, the way Martin Luther King Jr. did, okay, which I think is a very important lesson. So if you're not familiar with that, you know, it's a good time to study up on Martin Luther King Jr. and the early civil rights movement before it was appropriated about noncompliance with laws that are immoral, because you're going to have to make those choices soon. And the other is nullification. That is where your state, as a collective body, as a sovereign government, resists the draconian measures that are extra-constitutional of the federal government. Those are the tools at our disposal now. And we have to use them. And to use them, we have to work together, like Randy was just saying. And what does that mean? It means that every single one of you has to drop your allegiance to party. You have to drop your allegiance to the personality of candidates. You know, and that includes Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich and Michelle Bachmann, okay? Just personality is not it. The principles are. You're going to have to drop your favorite pet issues, whether it be Social Security, pro-life, you know, I don't know, left-handed cross-dressing lesbianism. I don't know what your favorite issue is, but whatever it is, you're going to have to drop it, because there's only one issue. Well, two, okay? Liberty, your right to live your life as you believe you ought, okay? And the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. And anything that operates outside of the Constitution is illicit, even if they happen to make it, quote, legal. Okay? That's the only issue. Because until you get that right, you can forget about restricting abortion or the homosexualist agenda or promoting federalism or protecting your right to bear arms. Okay? You can forget about all of those things until you get liberty and the Constitution right. So start working and building coalitions with people who you normally don't agree with. Start building coalitions, just like Randy said. He was invited to speak at the media event that the Green Party guy put together. They're practically polar opposites when it comes to politics, but they were both in agreement that everybody should have a voice. So start building these uncomfortable coalitions, because we need to build numbers to get things changed. If you're Occupy Wall Street, Green Party, even a voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist, a traditional conservative, a Gingrich guy, a Ron Paul guy, it doesn't matter. You all agree that ballot access should be open and fair. Work together on that, because that's how we get our voices heard. And the very simple fact is, when you build these coalitions and you work on the issues of liberty and the Constitution together, you will roll back the duopoly, the corporatist oligarchy. And once we do that, which will take several election cycles and a lot of battles and many setbacks, once you do that, then we can roll up our sleeves and we can go toe-to-toe. We can fight it out on all our favorite little issues within that framework, and may the best ideas win. But not Absolutely. Before then, because right now we have to be united against the oligarchy.
The duopoly.
Chris, you want to chime in?
Sure. a couple different things. One, when I look at 2014, which really starts now, I look at what are the tools at play here. You know, where are we going to have candidates that we can run? Now, the common thing that will be a strategy marketing is all going to be the Democrat, you know, we got to get rid of the Democrats. Well, my focus is, that's fine, and most of the energy will be spent that way. But my focus is, I think I'm losing my headset, is making sure that we get rid of any remnants of the Bush era in any way possible. I don't care if they're a libertarian. I don't care if they're a Tea Party Republican, Paul Movement, Constitution Party, Independent, you know, or part of the Bigfoot Klan. Those people need to be gone. The Bush era has been used twice in a row to win a presidency, and it will be used again and again and again as long as the head leadership in the House and the Senate are old Bush guys, because they are. And Republicans don't seem to understand that that is a stigma that will take down this side of the House, you know, the conservative Republican, you know, whatever you want to call it, but the right side. Because that is a part of an era that is best left. We need to leave it behind, just like Nixon era. We needed to leave it behind. You follow what I'm getting at? That's an important concept to, you know, to grasp. And the other thing is, it starts now. Because 2014 is just a blink. January is almost over, folks. You know? And so there's a very key focus. And that's just my input on that, you know.
No, spot on.
All I really got to say right now.
No, that's spot on, Chris. A couple of points. We've got a little less than 9 minutes of live show left. So if you want to listen, I'm only going to bring in one more caller just about 2 seconds from now. But if you want to listen, call in 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. That's if you're listening live. Otherwise, catch us in archive. Thank you all for listening, and keep tuning in to Tex and Rex regular broadcast times, 10 p.m. Eastern, every Sunday. And we're going to keep bringing you as much information as we can about how to advance the conservative cause, and that is those who want to conserve a set of liberal principles enshrined in liberal documents, liberal by a 18th century definition, and that is the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and our tradition inherited from Christendom, primarily the Anglo-Saxon tradition of the rule of law. And so therefore, wherever conservatism is, you're going to find Tex and Rex promoting it, despite what some parties do and in promotion of what other parties do, because it isn't about parties for us. It's about the principles of conservatism. And speaking of Tex and Rex, we are joined by my illustrious co-host, Tex.
Hey, Rex. This is Tex. As we discussed earlier, I got hung up with something else. Sorry for dialing in so late, but just to dive into the full hit sheet, just wanted to talk about what Chris was saying, but getting rid of the last vestiges of the Bush cohorts. And I absolutely agree with that, because those cohorts are engaged in trying to promote Jeb Bush now as the next best hope for the Republican Party. And, you know, I think we're all about done with Bushes here in this party, unless we're a monarchist party, which I don't think is going to be very successful. And I don't know any Republicans. I mean, talk to Republicans and they're like, I would never vote for Jeb Bush. I never want to hear about another Bush. And we're already right now into the third Bush presidency with Obama with foreign policy anyway. So, you know, I think we're about done with Bushes. It's time to see some new blood. And ironically, that's what they have been saying about conservatives. So that's what they were saying about Ron Paul. That's what they were saying about Newt Gingrich. Oh, we need some new blood into the party and all that kind of stuff. And what they want is a rhino blood transfusion into the party. And that really is what's killing it.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, you know, this idea of, you know, the next rhino in line, which happens to be Jeb Bush and possibly with a Marco Rubio vice president or a Bobby Jindal, just, you know, because we need that ethnic flavoring. You know, the cool thing about Jeb Bush is, you know, he's Catholic, so he appeals to the Catholics. His wife is Latin American, so he appeals to the Latins. If he had a black gay son and a female daughter that we could put on the front lines, well, then he could appeal to everybody. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about appealing to people based on the color of their skin or their gender. Because, you know, principles, those things get in the way of governing, don't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the most important thing to talk about conservative principles, particularly economic conservatism. Then that's problematic because Washington, D.C. just isn't having that anymore. There is no, you know, fiscal conservatism anymore. That's the black sheep of the family of the Republican Party now. They don't want anybody coming forward to talk that language. I mean, I'm just now tuning in after, you know, getting caught up in all the stuff I was talking to you about. But, you know, did you talk about the John Boehner's article about how he's sorry that he stuck on the fiscal cliff?
No, I think I managed to drone on a little bit long and managed to occupy probably the first 35, 40 minutes of the show in a kind of a soliloquy, and then I had Randy and Chris join me after wrapping up his show. So we actually never got to that, although it is in link on our Facebook page, so make sure you go there to read the article. And we're 5 minutes of live air time left, but we will go into overtime and discuss that. But real briefly, I can actually get a quote for you from Rince Priebus on John Boehner. Hold on, let me find it. Oh, here it is. We played it earlier, but this is Rince Priebus.
What you have to go and do that for? I didn't buy them. Look at the cycles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Have you tried counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
And then, of course, we have John Boehner with his, you know, strong stance that he took earlier on, and Tex is going to talk about how he's kind of moving back from that strong stance, but this is his strong stance upon Obama's reelection.
Mr. President, this is your moment. We're ready to be led.
So Tex, feel free to just launch from scratch on the new development with little beef jerky crying tan Boehner.
Well, sure. Boehner recently gave a speech where he insisted that he is not a squish and that he has been misidentified as a squish. He said he didn't like the fiscal cliff negotiations or how they turned out. But if you go back and you look at his record, that he's the eighth most conservative person in the Congress looking at his voting record. So he is not a squish, he insists. Okay, well, you know, it's one thing to go vote when you're, you know, quietly doing that in the background. It's another thing to lead. And he did not effectively lead the party. So it's like, you know, I'm sorry about the whole fiscal cliff negotiation, which he was in charge of, and how poorly they went. But, you know, don't worry, I won't be doing that again. Okay, well, so what's next on the agenda? Well, next on the agenda is talk about the debt limit, which is being kicked down the road, and then talk about cutting spending and trying to limit the growth of government. You know, and I just don't think that John Boehner's going to lead us any better than that. But I do think it's interesting that he felt it necessary to go give a public speech and talk about how he did not think those negotiations went very well, because I think the resounding verdict of the Republican voter out there, who is overwhelmingly fiscally conservative, and more than anything else, I think the big pole of the tent that's holding the Republican Party together is the fiscal conservatism pole at the moment. But, you know, he's essentially abandoned that. And so he's getting that feedback that people are really upset about it. So he's like, I'm not a squish, I'm a conservative. Okay, well, you know, great. Thanks for telling us your voting record from many moons ago. But the reality is, what are you doing now that you're in the leadership? And what you're doing now that you're in the leadership is saying stupid things like, Mr. President, we're ready to be led. Well, let me tell you, Barack Obama's not going to lead you in a conservative direction at all. He's going to take you more left. And you're stating that, hey, I'm ready to surrender and go more left-leaning. That was his message to Obama. I mean, who is that speech for? He addressed it to Barack Obama. He said, Mr. President, we're ready to be led. That wasn't to, you know, to the Republican Party voter, we're going to fight this leftward lurch and, you know, I have a mandate and everything. He told the president, just tell us what to do. And now that he's realized, oh, my God, I'm so angry at the Republican base, now he's out there stating, well, you know, I'm not a squish and I didn't really like the way those negotiations went. You know, I don't believe him. I think those negotiations went exactly the way you wanted them to go based on the speech that you gave. You told told him to tell you what to do, and you would do it, and guess what? That's exactly what happened. So, you know, mea culpa, it's a little too late. You know, I don't care about your apology now or your voting record for the past 20 years. All I care about is what you did recently. So I think that's a big part of the problem.
If you want to, text real quick. We're in the last 1 minute of show, so speaking of things running late, too little too late on the mea culpa, you've got less than 60 seconds to call in if you want to listen live. That's 646-649-1013. We thank you for listening, and we will be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, with more developments on how we can put forward the cause of conservatism, given the fact that the Republicans appear to want to go the way of the Whigs, which is a party that was founded in 1833 and disappeared by 1860, replaced by a third party, the party of Abraham Lincoln, the Republican Party. We will be going into overtime, and for you in archives, just bear with us, and the show will roll on. Back to you, Tex.
Well, I think that's what I want to say about John Boehner, which is, you know, this is our leadership, and now the leadership's apologizing to us because, oh, yeah, well, I got to admit, that was a pretty crappy leadership. Yeah, well, we knew that. What bothersome is we had a chance to get rid of that crappy leadership that has just apologized for its own crappy leadership. And we have a bunch of members of the Republican Party who are in the House and in the majority, and they all just fell in line behind this guy. That's really what's wrong. We talked to Mark Willis earlier, who's at the RNC. What did the members of the RNC do? Fell in line behind the leadership, right? The leadership sucks. The leadership cannot apologize enough for how terrible they are. I am so sorry I am in the leadership. I am so sorry that I am terrible at everything. Please bear with me, and someday, somehow, I will become less terrible. I don't know. I'm just not seeing it. But it's problematic for the Republican Party because it's fallen apart. You know, it's reached the point of, you know, after Clinton. Clinton never should have won in 94, right, or 92. He didn't actually win. He was a minority president to begin with in terms of he never got a majority of the vote, right? So the majority of people never wanted Bill Clinton. Then he comes through. We suffered through Bill Clinton to get Newt Gingrich. You know, we all know the rest of the history. And then finally we get up to, okay, now it's George Bush, right, who's a conservative. I mean, my God, he's protected. He's bound to be conservative, right? You get George Bush in, and then you get in the Bushites, who are the same people who raised taxes in 1990 against George Bush Sr.'s No New Taxes pledge. And what do they start doing? They start spending money like crazy. They don't raise taxes, though, because George Bush Jr. learned, don't raise the taxes, but do spend, open the spigots of spending in order to buy votes. And that was demoralizing for the Republican Party. And then what do you get at the end of that? Okay, we need to address this problem is spending. And then you get John McCain, and people are like, he's a rhino, you know? And then you get Mitt Romney. Okay, this party is being driven into the dirt by its leadership and by the people they keep putting forward. And now the people in charge are saying, okay, yeah, well, the leadership's terrible, but stick with, you know, at a certain point, you can't stick with them anymore. And I think the country has reached that. I think a large number of Republicans reach that. They just feel that at the national level, well, I can't support a third party because they never win. So here's the thing. Why don't you start supporting a third party at the local level who actually believes what you believe and get them into the local control? And when they're in control of the locality, eventually they realize, like, hey, a lot of people from this third party, they're doing really well. Maybe they ought to start going national. That's how you do it. You build it up from the grassroots, from the bottom up. Quit just supporting the GOP or the Democrat Party, whichever one you're supporting, and voting for their candidates all the way down. Like that, I'm voting straight Republican ticket. I'm voting straight Democrat ticket. Do not ever check that box. Ever check that box. Because that is saying, I'm here just to do what Brian Streeva tells me to do because he knows better than me. If you're doing that, just stay home. I don't need it.
Well, I couldn't have agreed better, and we talked earlier in the show with Randy about, you know, boosting the Constitution Party, and Randy obviously has a bias, which he was very open about, being the national vice chair of the Constitution Party, but he also talked about how The Green Party candidate invited Randy to a press conference because he believed that, you know, more voices are better. Now, you know, you couldn't get two more politically diametrically opposed people, but they agreed on the principles of openness. And clearly the Democrats and the Republicans don't. So, you know, it is up to you, irrespective of party affiliation or even your conservative principles of governance, because what you have to do as a grassroots activist, and if you're not a grassroots activist, you'd better learn to be one, because in America you have the responsibility and the duty to do these things, and it is the only way your voice will be heard. You have to get the access rules changed in your state, in your locality, so that multiple voices can be heard. And have no fear if you're a conservative, a conservatarian, a libertarian, or any other flavor of constitutionalist. Because our principles in an open marketplace stand on their own merit, and the statist, collectivist, Keynesian policies fail. So don't fear multiple voices, because our ideas will win. This is precisely why they've been shutting us down. This is precisely why the RNC winter meeting was about appropriating the Ron Paul movement in the Republican Party to shut the voices down, because they know that their spending ideas on their own merit will fail, and so they have to silence us in order to make that go forward. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I know I played a lot of clips tonight, but I got 1 5-minute clip here, and this is kind of hurts a little bit to play this again, because this is from MSLSD, and it is the Rachel Maddow show. Rachel Maddow show. This snarky liberal is often way out in left field, and I often don't agree with her. However, Karl Rove and Rince Priebus managed to give you a candidate in the last presidential race that she didn't have to lie about to make him look bad. All she had to do was tell the truth, and so you actually got the truth from her. Well, she had a little bit about the RNC winter meeting, and unfortunately, it is actually better reporting than you got from the, quote, you know, conservative quarters, because, you know, what happened there was just a disaster. But it points out some interesting things, and there's a little liberal snark in there, so ignore that. But listen to how she contrasts Prince Pubis and an honorable man, former Chairman Michael Steele. And the important thing to note here is that, you know, if you have a record of failure in any normal organization, whether it's an association, a political organization, business, or what have you, generally you make big changes when you fail, because your failure is a failure in leadership, a failure in principle, a failure in strategy. Republicans these days, on the other hand, seem to reward failure with even more position and power. So in
the
5-minute clip,
embrace the failure.
Yeah, embrace the failure. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So it's a 5-minute clip. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll take about 20 minutes. And whoever is on the mic right now with me, feel free to chime in. We've got Chris, we've got Randy, then we'll go to Tex for some final thoughts, and then I'll close it out. But real quick, let's just listen to this 5-minute clip by Rachel Maddow.
The RNC is meeting right now in Charlotte, trying to come up with ways to expand its appeal in time for the next presidential election. Within the last hour, the RNC reelecting Rince Priebus to another term as party chairman. And here's what he told his members just moments ago.
We must compete in every state and every region, building relationships with communities we haven't before. At the RNC, we're dropping the red and blue state analysis. We must be a party concerned about every American in every neighborhood.
All right, so Louisiana's Governor Bobby Jindal addressing members last night and today is making headlines for this very frank assessment.
We've got to stop being the stupid party. And I'm serious. It's time for a new Republican Party that talks like adults. It's time for us to articulate our plans and our visions for America in real terms. It's no secret we had a number of Republicans that damaged the brand this year with offensive and bizarre comments. I'm here to say we've had enough of that.
Under the previous chair of the Republican Party, Republicans won back the U.S. House,
Republicans shrunk the Democrats' majority in the Senate dramatically. Republicans won most of the governorships in the country. Republicans won more state legislative seats than at any time since the 1920s. Under the last Republican Party national chairman, the Republicans did really, really, really well. Republicans, however, decided that that national chairman was a failure and they fired him. That was in 2010. They replaced that very successful chairman, Michael Steele, with the guy you see on the right side of your screen, the head of the Wisconsin State Republican Party. He said that if he was going to get to run the national party, that his personal goal would be to get rid of President Obama in 2012 and to take back the Senate, too, and to hold on to the House. More specifically, the new chairman, Reince Priebus, said that under him, there would be, quote, more focus on winning. More focus on winning. That was Reince Priebus in the wake of the historic Republican glory of the 2010 elections. His focus on winning manifests in the form of what Mr. Priebus called an unprecedented ground game for the election this year in 2012. This was him on Fox the day before the election, speaking from his home state of Wisconsin.
It's huge, Greta. I mean, we've got the biggest ground operation this party's ever seen. We've got a good operation. We think we're better than the Democrats here.
That same day, on election eve, Mr. Priebus's Republican Party sent out a memo bragging about the Republican Party's ground game nationwide, how it would prove decisive in the election of Mitt Romney as president. We are poised to blow the Obama campaign out on election day, he said, thanks to a superior get-out-the-vote program. In Colorado, Florida, Iowa, and Nevada, we are poised to win the election day vote by even greater margins than we did in 2008. It's ground game over! It was game over, but with the opposite outcome. Colorado, Florida, Iowa, and Nevada actually all voted Democratic. They all voted for President Obama this year. And Mr. Priebus's home state of Wisconsin did not go Mr. Romney's way either, even with Paul Ryan being from there as well. There are a lot of lessons to be drawn from this year's big, decisive margin victory for President Obama and the Democrats. But at the level of political technical proficiency, the correct political science term for understanding what happened on the Republican side of things in this election is that the Republican Party's ground game this year sucked. Under Chairman Reince Priebus's watchful eye, not only did their get-out-the-vote effort fail badly even before Election Day, it failed badly in a way that they were not able to fix it in time for Election Day. In addition, Mr. Priebus at the RNC hired a veteran Republican consultant to conduct all the Republican voter registration drives in the crucial swing states of Florida, Nevada, North Carolina, Colorado, and Virginia. To be clear, it was the only firm Reince Priebus hired to register Republican voters. And then weeks before Election Day, the party had to fire that consultant and his firm amid accusations that they committed real and actual voter registration fraud and were being investigated in multiple states. The RNC wasted millions of dollars paying this single firm to fake register voters in five crucial swing states, and they had no backup plan when things went wrong. Mitt Romney ultimately only won one of those five states, and he only won it barely. And down ballot, in a year when many more Democrats were up for re-election than Republicans, Republicans actually managed to lose seats in the Senate, and they lost seats in the House as well. And now, after all of that, Reince Priebus's term is up as the Republican Party's national chairman. And not only does he intend to run for the job again, he is apparently going to win. Yeah, according to him, he's got a majority of RNC members supporting him. Really? What does it take to get fired at the RNC? Other than winning elections, of course. That obviously is grounds for dismissal.
I mean, that just burns the bridge. What does it take to get fired from the RNC other than winning elections? I mean, you have to ask yourself that. They fired Michael Steele for winning, and they rehired Reince Priebus without competition or challenge, even though Mark Willis tried to challenge him. The committeeman didn't have the guts to nominate him for losing. It boggles the mind, Tex. It boggles the mind.
Well, I liked when Reince mentioned that we are better positioned to win these places in 2012 than we were in 2008, right? Yeah, but see, you lost the presidency in 2008 too, knucklehead, you know? So whatever you were doing in 2008, you probably don't want to repeat it in 2012, but yet they went ahead and did it. But exactly, they fire failure and they hire success, and then they fire success and they hire failure, And then they want to make sure that they so hire that failure that there cannot be any dissent against his rehiring. There can't be a challenge. I mean, look at all the last elections of RNC chairs. They were all contested elections and everything. Big battles. There were several rounds of voting for all of them, but not so for rights. Not so for a big-time loser. They're like, we have found the loser we have been looking for. You know, let's wrap the mantle of victory around this guy. He's a champ. Never seen anybody, like, make a party lose this bad. I mean, the guy lost to Obama. He's the king.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Republicans were expecting this massive victory. They were going to win with their rhino. They were going to pick up the Senate, and they were going to maintain and even increase their majority in the House. And they were thinking about it on election night. Even Karl Rove was out there challenging the Fox News election desk. No, we're going to win. Well, and then it all imploded around them, and they started running around going,
this can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Yeah, they...
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
And what was their solution, Tex? They said, well, let's just do exactly the same thing that brought us this crushing defeat, and it'll work this time.
The first thing they did is we can't blame Mitt Romney for this defeat. That was the first thing that came out. Remember that? Can't blame him. Got to blame the conservatives because the country, the Republican Party is too old, too white, too conservative to win anymore, right? So don't blame Mitt Romney, okay? Then they're like, we got to stick with John Boehner because he's doing a great job, you know? So we stick with John Boehner. We got to stick with Ryan Scrivens because he's doing a good job. He's been a great, chairman of the RNC. He's really worked well with the donors. Well, I don't know. I think the donors may be the problem, you know? Maybe you want to look at who's actually cutting you checks because why are they cutting you checks? Do they have your best interest at heart? Or are they paying for your failure? Or, you know, what's going on here? And if they do want you to succeed, how long are they going to keep cutting you checks if you keep losing like that? Because that was an ass-kicking. You know, I don't know if you're keeping score, but that was a serious ass-kicking. Oh, but, you know, I was also talking to you earlier, Rex, and Mitt Romney has said that we have not seen the last of him, that he will be back and he will be, participating in politics and Republican Party politics and trying to help guide the party. Go away, Mitt. You know, thanks.
Did he specifically say Republican Party politics, or did he just say politics? Because maybe he's going to work with the other party.
You know, the one he came from.
I'd have to check it. But, you know, he did go talk to Obama, and everybody thought he was going to ask for a job.
No, John Kerry's got that job.
Yeah, probably what he was going to say is, I could help you implement Obamacare because I did it when I was governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, maybe he'll replace Sebelius with Romney.
Yeah,
he'll replace Sebelius with Romney. Okay, let's start wrapping up the show because it is late, or I should say early on Monday. So why don't we go to Randy and then Chris and then Tex, and then we'll bring it home. So Randy, go for it.
Well, thanks again, Rex, and glad to have you on here, Tex. Finally, you get to hear you, brother.
Sorry about the delay, Randy.
Yeah, hey, no worries, man. You know, we're all in this together, and I certainly understand, you know, when other things come up. If you don't mind, Rex, I'd like to make a little plug for my show.
No, I don't mind. In fact, I'd be pissed off with you if you didn't.
Well, Constitutionally Correct is going to kick off this Wednesday with a new show called Constitution Party Talk Radio. And it will start at 8 p.m., and we will be doing this every Wednesday. Talking about, we'll be interviewing somebody from the Constitution Party. The first one I'm hoping will be our national chairman, Frank Flueckiger, and we'll be interviewing him, hopefully. I haven't got all the details worked out yet. I just finally said, you know, this is what we're going to do, and got a lot of positive feedback with that. And the first half of it will be set up like I do all of my Constitutionally Correct shows. It'll be set up with 3 15-minute segments, and most likely that will be pretty much focused on the candidate or the issue of the moment. And then following that, the second half will be going to open lines, and hopefully the guests will stick with us, and we'll be able to let people ask questions and make comments and kind of just do the show like we all normally do it. And so I'm pretty excited about that, getting a lot of feedback from that. And it'll be an opportunity for folks to find out what's happening with the Constitution Party nationally, as well as start to hear what's going on within the states and locally, and where they can get involved. And that kind of segues into another thing that I'd like to let your listeners know is, look, there, you know, the party's basically, while I will confess, has been around for a while, we're still kind of messing around at the ground floor, and but I'm expecting that we're going to start building this building here pretty quickly. And so, you know, I'm just saying that if people want to get involved, there are so many opportunities. If you run for a candidate, I mean, you can run locally, you can run state, you can run nationally. You can virtually run for any office that you want. It's wide open. If you want to get involved with organizing, if organizing is a skill, or if finances, oh my gosh, you know, having people just simply track finances, get involved with organizing counties. We are focused here in the state of Illinois with organize. We got 102 counties. And already, just because we've started focusing since the elections, we're just blowing out the doors with people coming and say, you know what, I'm tired of sitting on my laurels. I'm going to get off the couch. And, yeah, I'll help you organize. And so we're getting people in so many counties. I think the last count was somewhere around 25 people right now, just within the past 2 months, are starting to organize their individual counties. I've been driving across the state, speaking and helping them plan out their organizations with their individual parties. So, you know, secretarial work, writing letters, activism, whatever level that you would like to get involved with, this is an opportunity for you to get involved and to actually start making a difference, where from a perspective that I believe is the only perspective that's truly going to make a difference. I liken this, for those of you, your listeners, who may or may not have seen the movie The Valkyrie. The Valkyrie was an operation in Nazi Germany, and it was thought that people could hijack the Nazi party from within. Well, Colonel Strasburger found that it didn't work out so well and was executed. Those who tried to take the party from within were executed. And I think while you may not be seeing people killed by the bullet or whatever, I think you are seeing conservatives being executed within the Republican Party. There's no taking it over. If we're going to take back this nation, it's going to be from the outside in, and it will be because we are providing competition. If you want to take back your state, your local offices, the nation, get involved with the alternative parties, and get involved from a perspective where people can truly make a difference. And contact me. Let me give you my email address. It's RCS, Romeo Charlie Sierra, stands for Randall C. Stufflebeam, at CompuStuff.org. Send me an email. On my website, Constitutionally Correct, you can go there to the contacts. My phone number's there. Contact me. I'll get you plugged in a way that will allow you to express yourself and to get involved and feel like finally you're able to start making a difference. So thanks again, Rex, Tex. God bless you guys. Love you. Love working with you, and appreciate this time.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. And please feel free to contact Randy if you want to get involved locally with a authentic conservative party. I've heard a lot of conservatives talk about, oh, the Republicans are dead, the Republicans suck, blah, blah, blah. We got to start a new third party. No, you don't. That's going to take you 20 years. You don't have 20 years. So if you feel that the Republican Party is not representing you as a conservative and don't want to give them money or time, don't give up on conservatism. Get active where you can, and the Constitution Party is certainly conservative. Chris, you want to give us your final thoughts? And thank you for being here after doing your show, so I'm sure you're exhausted, but go for it.
No, I think we're all on track here. I think the bottom line is, you know, it's it's real interesting. I've seen a lot of groups, you know, speculating on 2016, and it's kind of like getting the cart before the horse. You know, we've got 2014 coming up here, 435 House seats, 33, 34 with a special election Senate seats. I'm not sure the exact numbers. It's almost a third of the governorships and state houses and sheriffs across the land, and then other, you know, obviously, you know, local, you know, and county and things like that. But there's a lot, an amazing amount of opportunity to put conservative constitutional people at play across this country and to replace the people who have, you know, run us into the ground just in this last 10 to 12 year, you know, period of time. Get rid of them all, you know, get rid of them. There's some good people out there. Get them in power. Clean out the House and Senate of all the Bush era rhinos. Let those Tea Party people rise up to higher levels of leadership, you know, to have some kind of a counter to what the leftists and the Marxists want to do with our country. And, you know, you got to work. It's amazing how few people are involved in midterms. It really is. You look at the voting statistics, they're way down. You know, everybody, there's so much money spent on the focus on national media and money spent on ads and everything like that around the presidential election, you know, for one man, you know, or one person, politically correct, and not that much spent around the midterms, and yet that was where the Tea Party had some of the greatest successes. So this is important. People need to be involved, need to get educated, need to make it happen. That's all I got.
All right, excellent. And can you tell people about your Facebook page and your show real quick?
Facebook group, Coalition of Freedom. The radio show is same name, Coalition of Freedom. You can find them on Blog Talk Radio. I don't do my shows every night. You know, it's kind of a depends on how the information's flowing to me, if I can accumulate, you know, if I can put everything together, do the research, and have an effective show. But you know, we're balanced between you guys and Robert and what Randy's doing and everybody else.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And I would echo that message of midterms. Let's also not forget about 2013. We've got special Senate elections in Massachusetts. We've also got some congressional elections, special in Illinois' 2nd Congressional District, South Carolina's 1st Congressional District, and Missouri's 8th Congressional District, not to mention the state legislature's courts and governorships in the Commonwealth of Virginia and New Jersey. And New Jersey is interesting because, obviously, Krispy Kreme Christie up there, you know, is a rhino Republican darling, and they're talking about him also for 2016. So you might want to take a look at the race in Jersey, and the Commonwealth of Virginia is kind of a barometer.
That's Charlie Crist Christie.
Yes, that's the one, Charlie Crist Christie. And we've got in Virginia, we've got a pretty big race for governorship. Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, Tea Party guy, conservative, is running. Unfortunately, he is running as a Republican. But that's a pretty important thing to look at, because what happens in Virginia is often an indication of how the 2014 strategies are going to be played out. So, you know, get involved. And, of course, in Virginia, we also do have the Constitution Party. And if you recall correctly, the Constitution Party's presidential candidate for 2012 was Congressman Virgil Goode from, I believe it was Virginia's 5th District. So, you know, keep an eye on this stuff. The elections are going on, and unfortunately we've entered an era of near constant electoral politics, and you'd better get active, and you'd better get involved, and you better get other people involved, because it affects every aspect of your life. Tex, we'll throw it to you for final thoughts, and then I'll close it out.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. Apologies for being late, but I couldn't avoid it this evening. And, you know, once again, the Republican Party has put the stuck it to conservatives, and it's up to us in order to try to fix this thing, or to try to build something new. So it's not really either or, it's both and, but the Republican Party is not proving to be a loyal ally in the conservative cause. If anything, as I said in another show, they seem to be luring luring conservatives in, saying that this is a safe place for you, this is where your natural home is, we want to see you in our party, and then when they get there, they're destroying them left and right, attacking their reputations, going after their committee chairmanships, and then trying to run them out of Washington, meanwhile pumping up their rhinos, who are essentially Democrat lights. And in many cases, people doing this pumping up of these rhinos are former Democrats themselves, which might make you suspicious. Or, in some cases, the rhinos later on, when their candidacies are not successful, they go rejoin or join for the first time, depending upon how you look at it, the Democrat Party. And that should tell you something about the leadership of this party and what is going on with it and the type of organization that we're dealing with. So either you fix this organization or you got to go build another one. And the thing is, you need to start opening Republican Party voters' eyes about their own party leadership and what this organization is about. Because I'll tell you something, it's pretty damn clear that this party was never really about Reaganism to begin with. It was never about Barry Goldwater. It was never about Newt Gingrich. It was never about Ron Paul. If anything, they tolerated those things, but quietly in the background they worked to try to defeat them. And now they are in the ascendancy, and they're trying to get rid of conservatives wherever they can. So it is, I think, an organization that is in a state of decline, and it's an organization that is badly in need of fixing and reform, or it's headed for oblivion. And no matter which one of those options is on the table, it will definitely be better than the situation that we're in today.
Right on. It seems that the tide of statism is moving forward at an alarming rate. The Federal Reserve's balance sheet, according to their numbers, has hit $3 trillion. This is the money that they use to buy the politicians in both parties. And we can clearly see a strong record of failure for the Republicans since, under Michael Steele's leadership in 2010, of the fervency of the Tea Party and the Ron Paul Revolution, they picked up a majority in the House and unfortunately put John Boehner at the head there, who screwed it up royally, appropriated the Tea Party, and then we saw what they did in the caucuses, the conventions in Tampa. They put in rules that basically silence all the grassroots, not just Ron Paul supporters, but Tea Party, pro-lifers, Christians, traditional conservatives, it seems that they didn't have any intention of doing anything serious regarding the so-called fiscal cliff. They've extended the debt ceiling through May 19th. They are going to cave on this so-called sequester. And last Friday at the RNC winter meeting, unopposed, they reelected the worst Republican chairman ever. This party is quickly going the way of the Whigs, and you need to find a voice for conservatism. So let's get busy on principle. Let's get busy on local candidates, and let's forget these parties being truly representative of any of your values. What you need to do is work with the tools that you have. On the national level, whether you like it or not, the Republican Party is the tool that you have. So find conservative Republicans where you can nationally and support them, but don't give a penny to the party and don't support the party's leadership. There's a rules meeting coming up in April. We'll be bringing you information about that. Hopefully some inroads can be made there. What you need to do is support conservatives wherever you find them. Check out your local Constitution Party. Contact Randy Stubblebeam. He's given you can give you leads into the local parties, and maybe you can find some Constitution Party candidates at the local level who can actually put forward a conservative agenda. If you have any difficulty with the Constitution Party's platform, but you're still a constitutionalist, check out the Libertarian Party. They've been around for 40 years, and they have a structure that you can get into. There's no need to build a third structure. They're already there for people of good conscience regarding the Constitution. And what you really need to do is think about what you're going to do as far as moving the ball forward back to the Constitution. Drop your favorite little pet issue. Forget about it, because you're not going to get anything done in this environment of duopoly. What you need to do is focus on the Constitution and liberty. It is the only issue that matters. Whether your issue is pro-life, fiscal conservatism, guns, or anything else, if you want to have a voice, you need a restoration of our Republican small r system of federalism and the supremacy of the Constitution, not arbitrary laws that are extra constitutional passed by a majority. So really focus on the Constitution. Work with people who you may not agree with on many things. So long as you agree on the Constitution, work with them. Your state races are more important than ever now because there is a strong movement of nullification, and you need people of character and strength and political adeptness in order to stand up to the federal juggernaut at your state. And then as we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day last Monday, along with Stonewall Jackson's birthday, take an example from both of those great men. Martin Luther King Jr. led a movement of noncompliance with illicit laws and changed the entire way that we look at things in our country. And it was done with noncompliance, and it was nonviolent. Stonewall Jackson was a professor, and he was actually also noncompliant because at the time in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it was illegal to teach coloreds, which is what blacks were referred to, how to read and write. Yet Stonewall Jackson funded and taught himself blacks how to read and write so that they could read the gospel. So he was in noncompliance of the laws of the time. And then he stood like a stone wall at the Battle of Manassas, which, whatever you think about that conflict, was very clearly at its core about the state standing up for their sovereignty, you know, over and against a federal juggernaut. And what we need to do now is we need to be stone walls, and we need to be like Rosa Parks. Don't comply with extra constitutional laws. I'm not saying break the law. I'm not telling you to become an outlaw. But you will be faced with these issues of noncompliance and nullification, and you need people of good conscience in your state governments, especially your sheriffs, if you want to restore the Republican small r form of government back to these shores. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
The flames of liberty will never die.
Looks like I missed something.
Yeah, you did. We're all officially kicked out of school. Wormer just got our grades.
It kicked us out of school? That makes sense.
Hey! What's this lying around shit? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
What the fuck happened to the Delta I used to know? Where's the spirit? Where's the guts? Huh? This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Pluto.
We might get in trouble.
Well, just kick my ass from now on! Not me! I'm not gonna take this! Wormer, he's a dead man! Marmalade, dead! Niedermeyer!
Dead! Pluto's right. Psychotic, but absolutely right. We gotta take these bastards. Now, we could fight them with conventional weapons. That could take years and cost millions of lives. No, in this case, I think we have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile
and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part.